The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking now, go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
If you ask me to sum it up, how do I feel about Teddy Bruschi, 5 seconds. He's a perfect player. He's a perfect player. He's helped create a tradition here that we're all proud of. The torch has been passed, and we'll try to carry it on. It's a high standard. It's a high standard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. That was Bill Belichick yesterday at Teddy Bruschi's retirement press conference. A busy day here at Gillette Stadium yesterday and Sunday night with some other news. And we're going to talk about it all here until 2 o'clock on PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Paul's here. Doc's in the booth with Eric.
He's going to get a little bit done, go out to practice, then meet us
after
practice. So give us a practice update.
Going to come and tell us who's at practice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll be nice.
I don't want to be made fun of for crying at my wedding ever again, because Bill Belichick cried at Teddy Bruschi's press conference. Well, I don't know about cried. Choked up.
I'm sure that's going to take up a couple hours of the show, and rightly so. That was an impressive production, I thought, all around yesterday. And I thought all parties came across...
On short notice.
Yeah, came across very well. I thought right from Mr. Kraft, who I thought was short and poignant, but very effective, to Bill Belichick, who I thought was... absolutely outstanding and powerful, to Teddy himself,
right,
who handled himself, I thought, with a ton of class.
I got a
very, very impressive production.
I got a call from Stacy. I was in my car Sunday saying, you know, we're going to release O'Connell. You know, I'm waiting for the press release. If it comes, you know, we'll be able to run it. I'm just waiting. So that's happening. Then about an hour and a half later, I get another call from Stacy. You know, Bruschi's going to retire, and we're going to announce it tomorrow morning. It might leak out tonight, but so it was very short notice, and he got that all together by Monday. Matt Smith and Kraft Sports Production got together the video. You know, now a lot of times when guys are getting close, you get those things.
You're getting choked up?
You get those things ready in advance because you know it's going to happen. You know, Walter,
like the obituaries of the
Yeah,
old
Walter
people.
Cronkite, things like that. You know, Teddy Kennedy. I'm sure those things
Fred Kirsch.
Those things were in the can for a while, but it was nice. It was a good event, and you know what really made it good?
When Teddy said Paul in the middle of one of his answers.
Oh, that was good, but the sincerity of
right
Bruschi.
After he said Mark.
You know this is it for Teddy Bruschi.
Not the same.
You know, he is absolutely 100% sure of what he's doing.
Well, based on that yesterday, I would be unbelievably shocked for him to come back.
I would too.
I mean, he not only sounded that way, but then he was asked directly about it and even said that he and Bill talked about it and said, don't make that call or something. I'm paraphrasing something along those lines.
I mean, who knows? Maybe November... Bill calls and begs him to come. But I think Teddy Bruschi is absolutely sure of what he's doing. He's happy with that decision, and he's going to go forward with whatever he does with the same type of enthusiasm that he did playing football. That's just the way he is. And so you felt good about it. It wasn't a sad thing.
Yeah, and he made it that way. He was right. The one that clearly that was his emphasis, that this, you know, is a celebration. I have no regrets.
As much as we love Troy Brown, you had the sense that he didn't want to retire.
Yeah. Well, it ended a little differently, too.
Yeah.
He went on, you know, the year before was kind of in retirement. I mean, he was on PUP. He had the punt that bounced, fumbled, muffed. You know, it didn't end. At least Brewski played last year. I know he had an injury, whatever, but it just felt more like there was some finality there, where I think Troy didn't maybe feel that finality. And remember, Troy missed out on the great season.
Right.
So there was also, yeah, maybe if I come back again, I could be part of that great, you know. So I think there's a little more.
But so it was a nice day. Robert Kraft let it off, gave way to Bill Belichick, who was, Paul, you said, powerful. You know, wasn't a prepared speech. It was off the cuff, but obviously he knew what he wanted to say.
And unprecedented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's never been anything like that from him, at least that I can remember. You know, I don't know, did he speak about Lawrence Taylor or any of those Giants when they retired? But from what we've seen here, and he's had a few of these, unprecedented. And I thought as moving and as powerful as you could get, because Teddy said the fact that he called him the perfect player was the greatest compliment he could give. I don't agree. I think the greatest compliment was getting choked up. I mean, that told you all you needed to know about the respect, the admiration, everything that Bill Belichick feels for Teddy Bruschi.
And when you think about it, all the success and accolades that Belichick gets, all these guys, these string of players that are coming up, these are the guys that helped Belichick get those accolades and all those wins and those records. And he owes a lot to these guys.
When I think part of it is, and this is me playing sideline psychologist, I think Bill Belichick respects people maximizing their talents, their abilities, more so than he loves Randy Moss. He loves Tom Brady. But I think he thinks those guys are physically elite, physically gifted, special. And I think when he sees Lawrence Taylor, I would throw in there, Lawrence Taylor was great. He was born great. Teddy Bruschi worked and maximized his abilities and his style, his leadership, everything to the utmost, and I think Belichick respects that beyond all else.
Yeah, I think Andy nails it right on the head right there. And I don't know, Fred, if you saw, and it's a little bit off topic here, but ESPN the magazine had a story about Belichick and about his coaching tree and what his legacy may be in terms of, you know, these guys that coached under Bill and managed under Bill, because it was Dimitroff and Pioli were part of that too. There's a common trait among almost all of these guys, and that's they come from these small nothing schools. I mean, nothing in terms of football, not in terms of academics. You know, Mangini went to Wesleyan like he did. Matt Patricia went to RPI. Scott Pioli went to Central Connecticut State. Josh McDaniels went to John Carroll. Nick Caserio went to John Carroll. There's another guy who went to the University of the South. Never even knew that was a school. Thomas Dimitroff went to...
Bill Samko coached there.
Okay. Thomas Dimitroff went to a Canadian school at Guelph, I think it's pronounced, the University of Guelph, G-U-E-L-P-H.
It's part of the Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Was that a joke we should have gotten?
Yeah.
Well, I don't speak geek. But
I don't either. Eric will be down later.
There was this long list of guys that have been close to Bill that came the way he did. You know, we know the stories about Pioli showing up at Giants training camp every day, driving 90 miles every day. And then finally Bill just said, why don't you just stay here, stay in my office or something like that. And that's how they formed a relationship. I think Andy hits it right on the head. I think he has a special connection to guys that did it the way he did it.
Yeah.
You know, they came in at the ground floor, were given nothing, were guaranteed nothing, and worked.
Yep.
And that's what Bruschi did.
And they've all, I mean, the coaches have all done it. You know, McDaniels was a low-level nothing intern and did all the grunt work, the crap work, and worked their way up. So I really do. I think he's not turned off by whiz kids and all that, but I don't think he respects it as much as he respects the work ethic and the development process.
Well,
sorry, I'm going to keep
plus
playing.
Plus, you bring in these guys that come from the small schools. They're yours. You know, they're indebted to you, too.
Right.
So they're going to do anything you tell them to do the way you want them to do it. And then if they succeed that way, you know they've got it.
And I thought one of the other interesting things was the kind of the mind meld that Bruschi talked about and how he would try to predict what Bill was going to say week by week in the meetings and felt very often that he would be right. Like, you know, what he thought, if the team needed a kick in the butt, Belichick would give him that. If they needed praise, he'd give him that. And that ties in with Belichick kind of on the other side of that, saying he always did the right thing. No matter what, Brewski always had the knack
no matter
for doing
what
the right
the situation,
thing.
He always did the right thing. That, to me, was just as impressive as the perfect player comment and all the other things that Bill said. And I, you know, Andy said, I'm not sure he ever got like that. The only time I could ever recall Bill talking in front of us with any level of emotion like that was when his dad died.
Right. And yeah. I actually thought that was more tempered, more controlled. I thought yesterday he was a little bit less controlled.
It was unbelievable.
Well, you know, it was a great day, and let's hope that the team, the organization, can think of ways to keep Teddy involved in the organization somehow, whether it's marketing or whatever. I think he's a great asset to the team.
He's a great asset as a motivational speaker, I'll tell you that much. I turned to Paul when he was done and said, that's his demo tape to become one of those $75,000 an hour motivational speakers.
And where's his enthusiasm on the sleeve?
He's engaging. I mean, you want to listen to him. When he's talking, there was no better post-game quote than Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
Right.
There was no better post-game quote.
Well, you know
And that's throughout his entire time.
The difference with him is the combination of experiences and the ability to tell the tale and weave it together in a entertaining manner. A lot of guys have overcome long odds, whether it's on the football field or in life, like he did with the stroke. And a lot of guys can, you know, be funny and engaging and tell the tale, but very few have the story he has lived through and the ability to relate it in a great way.
And you know, Bill called him the perfect player. I'd also add, and it's part of being he has the perfect instincts.
Right.
There's no other way that you can be involved in so many big plays over your career without having the perfect instincts. And those instincts are the same instincts that said, you know what, it's over for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's over. This is the time to do it. I don't think anyone had to talk him into this. He decided, he knew it himself. His instincts told him, this is it. He's got the perfect instincts, and whatever he does from this point on, I know he'll succeed because of those instincts.
That was a big topic of conversation. Is there any chance they were going to cut him and they asked him to? I don't buy that at all. And I actually, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
I think if he wanted to play, he'd still be on the team. They
that's my point.
Him.
I do. Because I don't think they have enough good linebackers. Yeah. And he's not Teddy Bruschi he used to be, but is he better than whoever you want to compare him to as the eighth linebacker? And
I think
he could still help you.
Yep.
And that's where I think it'll be interesting. Did he make the right call? Can Gary Guyton fill the void? Can Paris Leonard or whoever the other guys are, can they fill that void? Or in 3 months, are we all going to be saying, I know he lost a step, but I'd kind of like to see Teddy Bruschi out
there. Well, we would like that, but in his mind, he knew he couldn't play the way he wanted to.
Right.
So he did not make a mistake, regardless of what Gary Guyton does or Paris Leonard does. Teddy Bruschi did the right thing for Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
You know? Now, that begs the question that you were talking about. Where does that now leave the Patriots linebacking and defense overall?
Gary Guyton, your boy, needs to step up.
He needs to step up.
He is going to have a spotlight on him because based on what we've seen, regardless of Bruschi retiring, he was getting reps as the guy next to Mayo in the 3-4 and starting caliber first-team reps on the outside in 4-3. So he's going to have a big role this year, and we'll see if he's ready to handle it. I have my doubts, but
you do.
We'll see. Yes.
Why?
I think inside in a 3-4, he isn't powerful enough, isn't strong enough. He's more of an athletic, run-around, speed-based player than a power-based player. So I think he struggles with teams running right at him at times. On the outside, I just think he's more of a situational player thanks to his skills as a pass coverage guy with the speed and those things. And I think he's a little bit miscast as an every-down linebacker.
I know we haven't seen a lot from Paris Leonard in preseason yet, but is it possible that he can fill some of that void?
I hope so.
He's going to have to.
Because I thought he looked – you guys didn't agree with me. I thought he looked okay in this last game. He finished with 5 tackles. He looked terrible on that one play where he jumped up and the guy faked him out of his jock and ran in for the –
Yeah, well, that's the anti-Bruschi. When you got to play at the goal line and you don't make it, you embarrass yourself.
I mean, you know, he thought that he was going to pass. So he went up to block the pass and he ran right around him.
Tiptoed around him, basically.
Bad move. But otherwise, I thought he was in on a few tackles. I thought he was going to the ball pretty well. And
that's a big otherwise, though.
Yeah, I mean,
in the regular season, that's a game-changing, season-changing type play if you give up a play.
I didn't
like
think
that.
He looked great Friday night, but that's kind of irrelevant at this point. He's coming back. He had a pretty long absence in terms of training camp time. He probably missed you know, upwards of 20 practices. That's a long time.
Coming from a Tampa 2 defense, so
yes.
Huge, not even a – remember Victor Hobbs and all, he'll slide right in because he was with the Jets.
Right.
He couldn't slide right in, and London's making a bigger jump.
So I do think that there is a you know, an adjustment time that he's going to have to go through. So I'm not you know, ready to close the door on Paris Lennon. I think that he can be a guy that could potentially help them. But, you know, time's running out here. Hopefully he can get up to speed. And I think, like Andy said, he's going to have to.
Well,
somebody has got to be, you know, the extra linebackers. They're remarkably thin
right.
beyond, in my opinion, AD and Mayo.
Right.
I said to Paul, put armor on Mayo, because if he goes down, to me, that's almost
AD.
That's well, yes.
I know you can get by more without the outside guys, but they don't have any proven guys.
If Mayo goes down, I will feel like Brady going down if Mayo goes down. I will feel similar.
The only thing is I think they can still win games by outscoring teams, but I think
right.
the end of the defense would be if the defense winning a championship for you, I think would be out the door if something were to happen to Mayo. Like, you know, like the old days where, you know, you win a 12-10 slugfest.
Right.
I don't know if you could do that.
Well, when you look at these guys, Thomas and the outside guys, Pierre Woods, you know, all the guys we have slated to play out there, doesn't it, and now Bruschi's gone from the inside, doesn't it make you think that they're going to go more 4-3? Not necessarily, you know, strictly that type of technique, but four down linemen on the field at a time rather than three? Just
yeah,
because of
some.
Numbers. It's
well,
a numbers
some.
Thing.
But you know? Some of those down linemen are linebackers. I mean, Derek Burgess and Tully Bantakane are both listed as linebackers, and Bantakane is a linebacker. Burgess was a defensive end, but, I mean, that's why we've talked so much about the heavy and the light,
right.
the two different types of 4-3s they've had out there. So I do think, and I all along, I mean, I think they've seen the writing on the wall and knew they had to be 4-3 more often this year in all types of situations and
they
lineups.
Certainly have all summer, and we've noticed it. We've documented it here on the show and on Patriots.com. But it's kind of, I think, at this point, a little bit overblown because there's so much specialization, you know. And Andy just brought up the heavy and light.
You can't expect to match up correctly on defense every time.
That's the problem.
But that's what they do. That's why we're concerned.
I know. But Buffalo knows that. They've been, like you said, they've been practicing the no huddle, which minimizes the amount of substitution you can do on defense. Teams know this about the Patriots. They know that they're a mix-and-match type of defense, and they're going to try to eliminate that from their
But this is beyond mix-and-match. I mean, we're talking about distinct first, second, and third down personnel groupings with at least three players running off and on between the two, sometimes
right.
four or five players.
Every
you can't
down.
Keep that pace up
you
in
can.
The regular season. It's impossible.
And a semi-smart quarterback is going to be able to mess you up.
I'll tell you right
you
now.
Because he's going to recognize.
And coordinator, a guy who has
right.
four games of film to go on and is prepping for this with his
right.
game plan.
But I'm just thinking the last guy that has a chance to make a change is the quarterback. And if he sees, oh, that's the package that I was looking at film. They're not good at this. They're designed for, I'm going to change it up at the line.
On first
and
down.
That's the danger of not having enough guys. I'm not saying every guy. Enough guys that can play three downs.
Yeah, and I don't think they do. And now I might 6 weeks from now I might change my mind because a guy like Guyton could have shown us that hey, all right, you can get by. He could be an every down guy.
Right.
Right now I have my doubts. I'm with Andy on that one.
Well, you know what? I have great respect for Bill's ability to pinpoint guys' strengths and weaknesses and maximize them. I also think there's a chance some of these guys that quote unquote get stuck on the field might show you that they can play.
Right.
You know, Seymours and Wilforks and guys that are great talents but have, to some degree, been pigeonholed into roles. Burgess, maybe he's out there on early downs, and we say, you know what?
His
pass rushing's not as good,
but
he's a pretty good defensive end.
But his run stopping is better than I thought it would be.
Or maybe I have doubts about Guyton. Maybe he gets stuck out there more often, and I go, you know what? He's just a pretty good linebacker.
See, I'm pretty sure that if you put out Wilfork on a third down where all his – you know, his only role there is to get at the quarterback because it's an obvious passing down. He could do well.
Yeah, he'll collapse the pocket.
I totally agree with you. There's no question in my mind if he was out there and you just said go after the quarterback, he would be a presence. He would be. I'm not saying he would get 15 sacks,
right.
but he would be a presence.
You've definitely hurried up the quarterback.
Yep. What happens when it's first and 10 and you want him to clog the lanes? Is he as good doing that?
Is he gassed?
Right.
If he's out there doing everything
else. That's a good point.
I think that's what Bill's reasoning is. I think Bill knows what we all think that Will Ford could do. I think Bill knows he could do it.
Well, I mean,
but you have
we
to
know
weigh
some
that.
Of the players haven't agreed with it. Richard Seymour was outspoken last year.
Well, just
about
to let you know.
Wouldn't it be something if Brace takes up some of those first downs?
Andy and I were charting this stuff. This is
theoretically,
the way
he's not as good an athlete as Will Ford. So if you're going to force somebody into a third down role, it'd be Will Ford, not Brace.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with you on that wholeheartedly. But you know, Andy and I
we've turned uncertainty into a strength.
we've charted this stuff every game, and this is, you know, Fred. They've started for the most part with 4-man fronts. They have done some 3-4 too. In game two, they started in a 3-4. But you know, with Seymour, Myron Pryor, who started and played a lot in the first two games, Will Fork, and you know, Lee Kevin Smith, who's now Warren because Warren missed the first game. Second down. Okay, Burgess, Guyton, and Bantakane came in. Seymour, Warren, and Pierre Woods came out. Okay, third down, Seymour and Jarvis Green came back in along with Darius Butler as part of the nickel package. Will Fork, Pryor, and Guyton came out. Mm. So in the span of three plays, two different guys were on, off, on, and vice versa. I mean, and that's the way they've done it all summer, every game.
That's hard to keep up.
Very hard.
In the course of one game, let alone a season.
Very hard.
But
don't you think that the amount of time they've dedicated to it kind of says they'd like to keep it up? I mean, this is when you work on communication and running guys. You know, you don't have a ton of time during the season, and it feels like they're getting these guys prepared and acclimated for those roles.
The only problem is, in preseason, the other team, it doesn't really care who you're bringing
in.
And
you don't really care either.
Right.
You don't really care if you're setting yourself up in the worst-case scenario. Sometimes you might want to find out what happens in the worst-case scenario. But
you know, and you brought that up, too.
Find it hard to believe they're just going to scrap it, and all of a sudden we're going to see base 3-4 all the time or any one defense.
But about the preseason, and people don't care about that, that's an interesting point because I think people look at, you know, that it's a cliche. Well, you don't game plan in the preseason, and you don't. I mean, you know what other teams are doing, and certainly – that doesn't mean you don't blitz. The Patriots have blitzed quite a bit in this preseason, as a matter of fact. And I think they're going to do that to get pressure. Because
I
was a little disappointed in the coverage the other night defensively. But haven't been disappointed with the pressure they put on the passer in three preseason games at all. I think they'll continue to do that. But, like, one example of how the game plan thing, did you guys notice how often Santana Moss was open the other night?
Wide open.
I have to think in another game, in a regular season game, Bill says, that's the only guy they have that's going to hurt me.
Right.
I'm going to take him out.
Right. True. Know.
Cooley looked good going 73.
True.
Yeah, well, you know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Devin Thomas.
Right.
Malcolm Kelly. I don't think those guys are going to hurt
you. Strippers.
Malcolm Kelly flat out dropped a pass in the end zone. I mean, I don't think he's very good. Certainly not as a pro.
But I still think there's signs of good stuff in the secondary. I know it hasn't looked great.
It's looked better to me, but they still, I think.
We've talked about this. It's going to take a while. You can't just throw guys out there and say, okay, you're good. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, but we're still not seeing the type of press coverage, guys really making plays on balls. You know, even in that one game, you saw D'Angelo Hall. You saw Fred Smoot make plays on balls. They're right there.
D'Angelo Hall got burnt.
I thought D'Angelo Hall was the worst player on the field.
No, but
certainly based on salary.
They're right there. They're making a play on the ball. They're within
if that's what right there on making a play on the ball was, I don't want my guys doing that.
I'll take Will Hite. I thought Will Hite made a play on the ball.
I'd rather give up the 9-yard completion for a first down than give up what D'Angelo Hall gave.
I really thought D'Angelo Hall looked like he shouldn't be in the National Football League.
Now, Smoot made a couple of very aggressive plays in the ball, and he gave up a completion.
And they were playing without Carlos Rogers.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm worried about Baughton. I said to Paul, I'm officially worried that he's there sometimes
he's
and
guy.
Doesn't make the plays. Well, even in games. I thought on one of those, he had Moss. It wasn't terrible coverage, but Moss made the play. He didn't. Then he looks like he doesn't really enjoy tackling and being physical and doing any of that that comes with. Yeah, I'm concerned about Baughton. You know I thought he was going to be like an 8-9 pick guy here. And
I haven't
seen that
yet. Was disappointed.
He plays that style, though, for that you're talking about. He likes to press and he likes to get physical, but we haven't seen it in games.
I was disappointed that Sean Springs didn't play. This isn't the illness still, is it?
Well, he said today that he had to get some treatment. He actually said, he goes, I got to go see my buddies in the training room when he walked by us.
He's always walking around, like, you know, our little eyeball thing. He's always around.
Always happy, too.
Right.
But I'm interested to see, you know, what he's going to contribute this year because I think he's the linchpin. I think if he doesn't do well, now you're back to where you were last year. You know?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Well, who's your number one corner?
Lee Bodden.
Bodden right now.
Really?
Is in the either way, Sean
Don't
Springs
tell me
is
he's not
your number
than,
one corner.
Don't tell me he's not better than Delta O'Neal and Ellis Hobbs.
I don't know if he's any better than Ellis Hobbs.
And I think
sure.
Will Height is showing the development. If he can stay healthy, I think Will Height is continuing to be on a positive
Well, there,
track.
There's your X factor there.
I'm
there's the guy that could emerge.
I'm going to stick with my
Butler's
original
been
thought.
Okay.
I think there's enough promising signs that this defense is going to be pretty good about halfway through the year.
Yeah. I agree.
I think they're going to struggle early. I was, like I said, I was a little disappointed the other night in the coverage. I thought there were guys open. Even that they had that three series span where they had three and outs in a row.
Right.
They up a touchdown to start, then three series in a row, total of 10 yards, no first
and
down.
And that's what I liked.
But there was a wide open.
No, but I mean, after they gave
Fred,
up that first touchdown.
That's okay
no,
with
but,
Fred.
No, the reason I liked it was they gave up that, you know, they let him go right down the field, and then they just shut them down three times in a row.
But what worried me about that was I think the first of those three drives, Santana Moss wide open for a touchdown. Jason Campbell just overthrew him.
Yeah.
Wide open.
That's
I mean, three or four steps behind Bodden, right? Was Bodden
That's
on that play? I think the third series, they had like a third and seven or so, a little hook route, and the throw was late and behind and still dropped by Thomas, I want to say. Oh, it might have been Moss. Moss might have dropped it.
I believe it was Moss.
Yeah, statistically, that's what you're looking for, but even then, I thought they were a little fortunate.
But you know, you saw stiff run defense. They
well, that's what I wanted to say. You can fixate on the secondary problems. I saw two guys out there who were in contract years who were trying to break opposing players in half
and
in
they were doing
Richard
so.
Seymour and Vince Wilfork.
Right.
A number of times, they looked to me like safeties. They were like launching themselves and just blowing people up.
Right.
And if we asked for it last year, that the front might have to carry a little bit more of the load.
Right.
Well, I think we're in the same scenario now, at least early in the year. And I saw two guys that, if they stay healthy, look prepared to carry more of the load.
I liked what I saw there. And I like you said, Paul, I did see some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
A few times where Campbell looked like he had a lot of time. He was taking 12-step drops.
Well, you know
what? Did you see the depth of the drops?
You know
what's
funny, too? I heard on a radio show.
Did you really count
yesterday.
Them? Were they 12?
They were 12-step drops.
I heard a show yesterday
kind
that
of stuff
I,
you get on
I laughed
words.
At. They were criticizing the coverage, and they were saying how, listen, this coverage is no better than last year. You know, on the times that Campbell had time, he found a guy. When he didn't have time, he didn't find a guy. Well isn't that defense
right.
in the NFL?
Bill right. would have bristled at that.
But isn't that, how many quarterbacks can you stop when you give them time?
They've been saying that since Dan Pastorini.
As positive as we are on some of the talent, none of these guys are shut down Deion Sanders, let him go all day with one guy.
And what secondary is capable
None.
Of
Zero.
Shutting down
Zero.
Opposing
Those
offenses
Those guys don't exist
like
anymore.
The only, way you could, the only way you're going to succeed by giving a guy time is if the quarterback just flat out can't throw. You're
right.
Like Ken Dorsey a few years ago. You know,
like Campbell
guys
on
like that.
Deep ball.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks, we got to talk about this quarterback situation. We're going to do that right after this.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it and in. What a goal. Sandy Diaz.
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri,
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Ultimately, when we won, which fortunately we've done a little bit of that, at the end of the game, Teddy had the great presence to pull the team together and, as only you could do, sum up everybody's feelings at that moment. How do you feel about winning on Monday night? How do we feel about winning on the road? How do we feel like about going into the bye week with a big victory? How do we feel about where we were at that moment? And he always captured it perfectly.
All right, that's Bill Belichick again from yesterday. My mouth is full of fried dough.
Among other things.
Before the break, I said we're going to talk about quarterback. Before we do, I want to...
No one teases and skips it like Fred Kirsch.
Anthony's from Naples has been holding on for quite a while, so I want to get him on the
line. He hung up.
Anthony, he did. He hung up.
Okay, so
wait a minute. Hold on for a second. Now these people are just too important. They call. If I don't get right to their call, they hang up.
Yeah, I called him. I picked up the phone while we were in the break. I said, can you hang through the break? There was nothing. I heard his car beeping like he left his keys in his ignition when he walked out. Anthony, you there? Then they hung up.
He had a pool to skim.
You know, because on the big show, you hear, you know, I've been holding on for 45 minutes here. If they hold on for 10 minutes, they get mad at us. That's not fair.
We're not the big show.
No, but we have things to talk about, you know?
I know.
Generally, that means there's, you know, constant flow of guys calling in front of you when you're on the big show.
But... In radio, you start the show, you don't go right into the call.
This is not terrestrial radio.
No, but I agree. You don't start a show and have calls immediately in the first 10, 15 minutes.
You have to, like, kind of set the table.
Okay, well, let's set the table about O'Connell.
All right. Everyone surprised?
Stunned.
Very much.
Far more stunned than the Brewski thing.
Very, very surprised. Yes, the Brewski thing, I think we all kind of speculated could happen.
Timing was a little.
Kevin O'Connell, stunned.
Stunned more because of the timing?
Yes.
Or because of his ability?
Timing. I don't think he performed well this summer. We've talked about this almost every day, and I know we wrote about it almost every day.
Except apparently Eric.
He had two or three times, I thought, where he looked like he was performing reasonably well, and I'm a big fan. I really, really like the kid. I think he's a nice guy, and I think he has a lot of physical ability. I just don't think he fit here. I don't think that's the system. Not that he didn't fit personally. I don't think he fit the system. And I tried to ask Bill about it today. I didn't really get, you know, much either way. But I don't think that what he did really well were some of the traits that I think you need to do really well in this offense. And first and foremost, Andy was the first one on this.
The shin passes?
During minicamp. A lot of those quick timing passes, dump-offs to backs, quick slants, the shorter the throw, the less accurate he was.
And he always has been that way.
Always.
From day one, last year in minicamp.
Yeah. The shorter the throw, the less accurate he was.
That's mental. That's mental.
It's ability.
It's no, mental and physical.
No, look, you know he can throw the ball. It's mental. You're thinking too much in
but
the short
accuracy.
Passes. It's Bill Blass disease.
It's both, though.
It's first of all, it's Steve Blass, but
it's
anyway.
Both.
Bill Blass is the guy that designs clothes, I think.
Yeah. Underwear.
I mean, you can't say it's just mental. There's a physical component to it, which is throwing the football from point A to point B.
I agree. It's my whole.
Now you might argue there is some
mental. Benjamin Watson.
Right.
He's got all the physical skills. Yeah, except for that he can't catch the
right.
ball. That's a physical
right.
skill. You know, and I think that there's a physical aspect to being accurate with passes.
But the problem is, how many offenses, I mean, other than Oakland, where do they just ask you to throw the ball deep? I mean, you know, it's kind of the NFL these days. You need to throw screens and dump
but
offs.
You know what
and,
I'm saying? I think that he might be one of those guys that maybe is more accurate out of the shotgun, you know, moving around, throwing on the run and doing things like that. And maybe there's, you know, maybe West Coast might, even though it's short passes, maybe the fact that he's moving a little bit more.
Lack
might...
of accuracy hasn't hurt Don McNett. Well, it has, but he's made a lot of money and been in a
right.
job.
But, you know, maybe throwing the ball in that kind of fashion.
Because I would say McNabb
makes him
is
more
very
of an
similar.
Accurate passer.
I
yes,
see him
I
make bad short throws all the time oh, that yeah. don't put his players
now,
in position.
Now, O'Connell, is he still out there? Has he been picked up by anyone?
Well, waivers would end today.
Oh, it ends today?
At 4, so we'll find out. I think he'll get claimed.
Interesting.
But I think he's going to have a hard time making a team. I think he's going to be out of football.
Interesting factoid that Bill threw out there today was that he is not practice squad eligible.
I don't know why.
Because he was on the roster for an entire
That's
year.
That's how that works? Just being on the roster is enough?
Yeah. And even though, and he said it's kind of an unfortunate thing for him because
some guys have like 3
really,
years of eligibility.
He really only played in probably about 10 plays.
Yeah,
last
two games.
Year. And he loses practice squad eligibility, whereas a guy may have played far more than that have practice squad eligibility. Like, let's just say you're on the roster for 3 games and you started all 3 of them and then you go on IR
right.
or something like that. You don't lose your practice
season.
Squad. You don't lose your practice squad eligibility.
Right. Now, is there a chance
no.
that they think that Hoyer is better than O'Connell?
I just think they decided that O'Connell is not their guy.
Right.
I think that's all this
his
means.
His upside is irrelevant because his upside doesn't fit here.
Right. Yeah. And Hoyer can go on the practice squad.
Right.
Which yep. would open up a slot for someone to bring in. At this point,
that's correct.
Are they holding out for, you know, A.J. Feely to be cut or, you know?
They might be looking to acquire someone.
That, I mean, A.J. Feely, aren't they going to hold on to him until Michael Vick is actually reinstated?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't hold your breath.
I think that's logical.
So who's out
Although,
there? Although, Vinny Testaverde?
If he's a vested veteran, doesn't he?
We'll find out what they do in terms of...
But I don't think that the... I mean, unless they think Walter Jones is... or Andrew Jones or Walter Andrew or whatever his name
what
is.
What is wrong with you? Can you at least pretend that you care?
His career as a left tackle might be over, but he's a budding quarterback.
Andrew Walter.
I think you guys are the bad influence on Fred.
Why?
But that solo show last week, he was
no.
on the mark.
See, yeah. and
we did hear a little of that before we left, and he was very good.
It's an act. It's a shtick.
Now, no, Andrew Walter, I don't know if he's any good. He hasn't shown anything to me.
I agree. We don't know. I think he's looked
beyond
okay.
Beyond that, he's been here for a month barely.
Yeah, I think, you know, considering that fact, I think he's looked okay.
Are you really willing to hand him the reins?
No.
Especially 5 days after Brady went down with what at any point could have been an actual injury?
Yeah, I got to think that he's still – when he came in, I thought he was coming in as number 3, and obviously we were wrong because
who is
he
number
was ahead
2?
Of the guy we thought was
who
number 2.
Who does number 2 work
but
for?
But I still think number – I still what? Think that number 2.
So they're going to bring a guy in September – who's the backup quarterback?
That's the part.
Because unless his name
yeah.
is Damon Heward, which I don't see him coming back, I just never thought he would come back.
Could
just
be
my personal.
It could be him. But
no,
I
know, but
I
think it has to be somebody who knows the system.
I don't think he.
We bringing a guy in cold.
His time here.
I mean, I know it's become a forgotten story around here, but I don't know if you've heard Tom Brady's coming off a major knee injury. There's a chance you need a backup quarterback. Are we just gonna? Hey, good luck. Here's the playbook. By the way, you're gonna need it Sunday.
We haven't even talked about Brady's shoulder.
No, we haven't got there yet. Just to finish up on O'Connell, will you be surprised if he gets picked up by Kansas City?
No. I would be surprised if he got picked up by Denver. I said to Paul, I watched the Broncos the other night.
Yeah.
They didn't throw a single pass more than 4 yards downfield, so our scouting report on O'Connell wouldn't seem to fit Denver.
And that makes sense because Denver is running the Patriots offense in theory. I haven't seen Andy saw Denver. I didn't. But I'm guessing Josh is running the offense that he ran here.
But
he looks terrible.
Kansas City is
it's
not
even
running,
lighter. It's
Kansas
even
City's,
less. It's
Kansas
without
City's
Moss.
Not writing right. running the Patriots offense. They're running Todd Haley's offense.
Right.
So
now they really are because Chan Gailey can ask to not run it anymore.
Which that's
what
a strange
does St. Louis
thing,
do? What do they do? They're number
they
two.
They lose.
No, what's their
I
offense?
Want to be you.
Who's in their who's their coordinator? Spags is their head coach.
I don't know who their offensive coordinator is.
Because I think, I mean, they have Bulger, but he's a question mark at this point in his career. I think they would be a possibility as a developmental guy. And then Kansas City is the next slot at three.
Their offense is you fall behind and Bulger throws for 350 to 400 yards every game.
The big thing that I didn't get, Fred, with this transaction was the timing. I was shocked that they pulled the plug so soon. I'm not going to. Listen,
stunning.
I didn't see that.
Sean Crable was drafted in the same draft, the same round, hasn't done anything, and he gets to stay.
Yeah, I would rent, not buy, if I was Sean Crable based on that move.
My theory there, Fred, is your old saying about better the world to think you a fool than to prove it. Right. O'Connell showed he couldn't play. Crable's never done anything, so they
right.
don't know for sure he can't play.
That's true.
So, I don't know. I was really stunned that they let him go so quickly, third round pick, but he didn't play well, and you can't get around that. So I can understand that, but the timing of it, I wonder about moving forward Thursday night with two guys now, and Bill thinks of this stuff, so it's not like I'm trying to be an alarmist. Bill thinks of these in case of emergency kind of things. What happens if you lose one of those guys? What happens if Andrew Walter separates a shoulder in the first quarter?
Which is possible after he fumbles a snap.
You know, and then I wonder, are you really happy waking up on Friday morning with Tom Brady and Brian Hoyer as your only two quarterbacks?
If Tom Brady stays healthy, yes.
Well, I still think that's my bottom line solution. They're screwed if Brady gets hurt. It's the same old story. Who cares who's behind him?
Right. Well,
okay. Maybe that's what Bill goes with. I don't know. But it just seems to run counter to everything that we know about the guy.
No, I know. But I said this to you yesterday. This whole myth that there's these perfect backup quarterbacks that exist is just that, a myth.
I agree with
you. If they're good enough to play even like 3 weeks in a row, then they're generally given a chance to be a starter somewhere, and that's not New England.
But aren't there guys like that around?
Who?
The Damon Heward types. The guys that have started but haven't been great starters.
There's not a lot of them.
They're tweeners.
There's not a ton of them. And because they're so few, it seems like they get paid a little bit these
John
days.
John Kitna?
The question is, are there 64...
Dallas?
Are there 64
no.
NFL quarterbacks alive in this world that can play, that can start? I don't
yes,
think so.
But some of them still play in college. Right? If I include Bradford and
but, you
McCoy.
Know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why these guys get paid so much. There's not a lot of guys in the world that can do what they do.
You take a shot at Malcolm Kelly, so now you got to say Bradford just to suck up to strip.
Well, he's the best player in college football, and he made a dumb mistake by going back to school because he's going to get killed behind a terrible offensive line.
I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback.
I think he's going to be a superstar.
I don't like him.
You will be talking about...
I love him as a college quarterback. Love him as a college quarterback.
This is the Brady Manning era. There will be a Bradford insert other name here era. That's how all in I am on Sam Bradford.
Really?
Strippers just need to change his shorts there.
No, Pat he's actually going to he's gonna put it up on some website.
Oh, yeah, don't post that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That quote will be
Pat
up.
Shermer. What do you know about him?
Nothing. Fritz's kid?
I assumed.
You sure he's not the defensive coordinator? Because Fritz was a defensive guy. But, no, I don't know much about Pat Shermer. Sorry.
Anyway, back to the Patriots. So, this quarterback situation is unresolved as far as we're concerned.
No, it's pretty resolved. Tom Brady's a starter.
No, but they have to bring somebody in, don't you think?
Yes, I would think that they would bring
and somebody you're saying in. No. You think that they think that much of Andrew Walter?
I think they decided
the man
they
with two first
that,
names.
I think they decided they thought that little of O'Connell.
Well, we know that's why that O'Connell's not here.
You can only do what you can do. There's only so much out there. You can't just make this guy up. If he doesn't exist, why didn't you sign him before?
Yeah.
Do you think they open the season with just the two on the roster and Hoyer goes to the practice squad?
Yeah.
That's what I think, if they don't make an acquisition.
I mean, I guess A.J. Thiele is theoretically a new name. He might be available, the Michael Vick, that. But he's still A.J. Thiele. Unless he plays the Patriots, he's not all that good.
He's pretty competent. He's okay.
When he plays the Patriots.
Not when he's played, though. He's not. He really hasn't been very good.
He hasn't been on this team.
Well, listen, he hasn't been in the system
right,
either.
Which I think is going to hurt him because when he's on this team, he can't face this team.
I mean, you just saw Kevin O'Connell on this team, and Bill said, I need to cut him.
All right. Looks like Jake Ingram is
your
long
snapper. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason not to like it. I think they've both been fine.
Yeah, I thought that was a coin flip, and most people thought if it were, was a coin flip, you take the...
Plus, he surfs.
You take
the cheaper guy.
Do you know he went surfing during that? Remember that hurricane that killed somebody?
Just recently?
Not the most recent one, the one before that one.
Bill.
Yeah.
He went up to, like, New Hampshire or something and went surfing in the... What?
Rye, New Hampshire?
I don't know. Ask him. No. I thought it might be a feature down the road that Eric could write, though.
I literally did flip a coin, though, to pick that guy on... Of course, I was wrong.
But the best part
the roster feature already off to a very, very tough start.
Paul asked me, go with the veteran at long snapper? I go, yeah. A few minutes later, Eric goes, so should we go with the young guy, the draft pick at long snapper? I go, yeah. I had no idea. I was going to say yeah to whoever asked me the question. And I think Bill kind of just went with the young guy, the draft pick.
I was okay Sunday night when I found out about Brewski, because I had Brewski on the team in the feature. And he retired. I mean, I couldn't predict that he was going to retire. I knew they weren't going to cut him. And then about 10 minutes later, I found out about Kevin O'Connell, and I was like, oh, man. Then the next day, they officially release O'Connell and include Hodel.
Yeah.
I'm not off to a good start. When I'm losing guys that I had on my 53 and the cut down to 75, it's going to be a bloodbath on Saturday.
Would you use
so ridiculous.
I'm assuming they kind of tried to trade O'Connell. That's why he found out about it, was told he was going to be waived over the weekend. Maybe they tried to work out a deal with somebody. Nothing happened. A, is that surprising? And B, what does that say?
That they tried to trade him?
No. That no one did. I mean, in this era of LaKeven Smith brings you something, and Russ Hochstein brings you something.
I don't think a third round pick quarterback doesn't bring you anything.
I think your point about quarterbacks, though, is the overwhelming one.
Which one?
It's hard to bring a quarterback in late.
So you don't think he'll get claimed?
Well, they might claim him, but they're not giving up anything for him. You know what I'm saying? You might be less willing to, you know, like we claimed Walter, but we didn't give anything up for him. You know, I'm sure they try to, you know what I mean?
But what about just a conditional seventh round pick? If we keep him, you get a seven.
Yeah.
If you don't.
Do I think he's worth that?
I mean, a year ago, the guy was a third round pick.
Absolutely.
He was one of the top 90 players in 96.
On the open market, all things being equal, Kevin O'Connell is worth a lot more than Russ Hochstein or LaKeven Smith individually.
To the contrary,
at this stage,
he might not make an NFL
team
because no one wants to put him on the roster,
right.
And he can't go on the practice squad.
And I think that's
so he could be out of football.
That's where things aren't equal, and I think he might have to wait.
Guy's a third round pick. Remember all the stuff, you know, a captain for 4 years in college, all that stuff, and now he's going to be sitting on the sidelines.
It's just too late.
It's an unfortunate thing, and I really tried.
You mean in the season?
Okay. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He'll get picked up next year in May
if this were minicamp, Andy, and Bill just decided,
UFL.
You know what, this kid just doesn't. He's not going to be able to ever get our system. He's not going to fit in our system. I'm letting him go, and it's the first week of June. Someone would have gotten him. We could have put him on the block then and probably gotten a fifth round or sixth round pick. But I think on September 1st, I think it's a little difficult for someone to say, I'm going to bring a quarterback in who's probably not going to play one down for me, and I'm going to give up a draft pick now?
I think this is one of the most interesting personnel moves we've seen in a while.
Yeah. This is way, way bigger than when they let Rohan Davey go, and they finally cut ties with that experiment.
We'd all finally cut ties.
Hey, Anthony in Naples is back. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Done skimming? Yeah, wow. So you guys got the story, huh? I thought I had a little bit of time during the commercial break, so I was like, I'll go take care of some things.
What's up?
But actually, it's funny you guys talking about the Kevin O'Connell thing, because that's exactly what I called up for. And do you more or less feel disappointed because you almost like bragged about him a little bit, as in like, oh my God, can you believe what Bill thinks of this guy because he drafted him in the third round and he picked up Castle as a seventh rounder and Brady as a sixth? Can you imagine the potential? And actually, come on, guys, I got to call you out. What was it? Maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, you guys were saying maybe he was going to take Brady's place in the future. Isn't that a little disappointing to see how he got cut?
If the future was 6 or 7 years from now, then yeah. But, I mean, he was never going to beat Brady out.
Oh, no, obviously, guys. Oh. That's what I'm talking about.
And we had said that he made no gains this year. We just thought he was going to have two or three more years to prove himself.
And the other thing is we looked at Castle last year in preseason. We didn't think he played that well in preseason last year, yet look what happened to him. And we're thinking, well, maybe it's the same thing with O'Connell.
If we're going to start talking about young players and draft picks being cut a year in for what we've seen them do or not do, then we're going to have to start. Brandon Merriweather was going to be cut as a rookie because he was terrible. Marquise Hill, second round picks galore. Hey. Lawrence Maroney, like just these young guys. If we're only giving them 1 year
No round more so than the third round.
Right.
where they've been littered. But yeah, but Anthony, you're right. I'm still am very high on the ability that Kevin O'Connell has. I'm not going to back off that. I've been a big supporter, but I can't get past the fact, I can't ignore the fact that this year, this training camp, and I'm not just talking about the games because I don't care as much about the games. In practice, Kevin O'Connell was terrible more often than not this summer. I mean, he had to set an all-time training camp record for interceptions. Had
probably.
To.
Really?
Now, let me ask you guys, because you're around it more often. Do you think, like, maybe he's just a little immature? Like, do you think he's not studying hard enough?
No, not at all.
And I think Bill said that today.
There's
nothing I could have told him to do that would have changed things, which to me says just his physical makeup doesn't fit.
Which is why I kind of asked that question. And
yeah,
we didn't get an answer.
He didn't, but I think that's what he said. He wasn't immature. It's not that he didn't work, because those are all things you could tell a player. He said there was nothing he could tell him to do that would have changed the outcome other than, you know, complete those short passes accurately.
And I think that, you know, he was making a big transition, and perhaps maybe we underestimated that in terms of the style that he played in college, mm-hmm. running around, kind of improvising a lot.
Guns.
Strictly out of the shotgun and really not running a conventional pro offense. And maybe we underestimated that a little bit. Well, maybe I did anyway.
And the throw. They clearly tried to change his motion when he got here.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just too much changes, too much adjustment, and Bill said we're never going to be able to morph this guy from what he is into what we want.
Anthony, that's why Andy and I were shocked. And I still am kind of shocked.
I still go with the theory that imagine how much Bill thought of him if he drafted him in the third round. I still go with that theory.
That's exactly my point. I went around bragging. Like, you know, not bragging, but, you know, you talk to your friends, you're like, oh, don't worry, we're all set in the backup situation. You know what I mean? Bill drafted this guy in the third round. You know, think about what he thinks of him.
The highest of all those developmental guys, whether Davey, Kingsbury, Castle, all of them. And it's, you know, it's the same theory I used when he took Gerard Mayo at 10. Well, he's looked forever. If he thinks a guy is worth the 10th pick, the guy's going to be a superstar. Well, if he thinks a backup quarterback's worth a third round pick,
right,
then I assumed he knew what he was talking about and the guy was going to be good. I think he thought he knew what he was talking about, too.
Yeah, the only thing I don't trust Bill in is tight ends. That's the only thing I don't trust him in. Next time he drafts a tight end, I'm sorry. I'm not falling in love with it.
I'm starting to think he knows veteran tight ends.
Yeah,
Chris Baker, exactly. Christian Fourier was a good get.
They're raving about Dan Graham in Denver is blocking.
Well, they raved about his blocking here. You just don't draft
Cam Cleland.
Don't draft a blocker in the first round.
Marcellus Rivers.
We just want something like Ben Cole.
O.J. Santiago. How long am I going here?
Well, are we going to name the seventh player at every position?
No, those are all veteran tight ends that came
in. Yeah, but weren't brought in to contribute.
Why not?
They're all Jags. They were Jags. Chris Baker was given some money and brought in to be a top flight tight end.
I bet you O.J. Santiago has more career catches than
Steven Spock.
Chris Baker.
Chris, you don't think Chris Baker's going to be a good player on this offense?
Yeah, but I think
that's probably why they gave him $2.5 million.
No, I think he's looked real good.
Me, O.J. Santiago was given $2.5 million. Private Santiago was not.
I think Baker's looked real good in training camp.
When he's given money to a tight end, he's worked. That's why I said veterans. All right, go ahead, Anthony. Sorry.
No, no problem. No, it's your show.
Typical Andy Paul tomfoolery. Sorry.
But I really called. I don't know if I missed it. I called pretty early to get on. But now, pretty much it almost does seem like we're going with the 4-3 a lot of the downs, probably 60%, 70% of the downs. So, you know, you got Mayo in that inside spot. Now, what's going to happen? Who's going to back him up, you think? Like, in that 4-3 alignment, if they stick with that? Or if you think if he goes down, do they go more to a 3-4 front now?
Well, you did miss this part where I said if he goes down, scrap the season. I've now put Mayo in Brady territory. I think not scrap the season.
I
think it's scary. I think Guyton would probably play in the middle in 4-3 downs if Mayo were to get hurt. But you're scrambling. They don't have any depth. They're scrambling to fill starting jobs, never mind backup jobs at some of those spots.
Yeah.
Rob Ninkovich, by the way. Don't sleep on him. He's my sleeper.
Yeah. So, Paris Lennon, he's not making any noise? He couldn't take up that middle spot there. Like, how's he looking?
Well, he missed a lot of practice. He came back. These guys don't think he looked too good in the last game.
Did you see the pump fake from Jason Campbell?
He looked terrible on that play.
Yeah.
On that play,
he
looked terrible. He had five tackles, which, hey, it's good to see. You know, he was among only two or three guys that had that many tackles in the whole game.
But I'm also going by, he didn't play very much with the rest of the ones.
No, he didn't.
He played a little.
Yep.
But not a lot.
No, he's got a lot of ground to make up. He missed a lot of practice.
So that's part of why I didn't think he looked great the other
day. Yeah.
Now, who do you think gets called first, Seau or Brewski, if we get in a tight spot?
Seau.
Seau. Yeah. He said he wants to come back.
Based on what Brewski said yesterday, I don't think you should even bother calling him.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, listen, things could change. He might get in, he might be finding himself in need of rehab come September 14th when he's not taking the field with his teammates and say, what have I done?
And it's easy to say I don't want to come, but if the Patriots are 12-0 and they call in early December and say, we need your help, I think it's hard to say no.
I would never say never, as Bill would say.
And he didn't either, because after saying don't call me, he did say he told everyone, I'll be right down the street, call me if you need me, was like one of his last sentences in the press conference.
Now, this is going to be the last one. Now, I was just thinking about the quarterback situation. This might be crazy. And he does come from a little bit of a different system, but he looks like he's going to be the one that's disposed of up there in Minnesota. But what do you think about Travaris Jackson, given a sixth round or maybe a fifth round or four?
I love him. I've been a big fan.
I know you love him, Andy. I mean,
I'm not sure he'd be a great fit for kind of the same reason that we don't like
O'Connell. Yeah.
I mean, Travaris Jackson is raw, physically gifted, strong arm, lacks accuracy. I mean, you could say basically it's a scouting report that you mimeographed off of O'Connell.
Yeah, but you guys are saying like O'Connell just looked worse though during practices and stuff.
Well, I haven't had the chance to watch Travaris Jackson on a daily basis. I bet you he's had some bad practices.
Yeah, I mean, basically what I've seen from Travaris Jackson in games is what we've seen from O'Connell in practice.
Yeah, very good.
We haven't seen O'Connell playing games.
All right. Anthony in Naples. Antov writes in, Belichick's releasing of a 2008 third-round quarterback pick underlines why the Pats are in the best hands in the NFL. Most coaches or GMs would be too afraid to shine such a negative spotlight on their past judgments. They would wait until it was a necessity. Belichick does what's best for the team, period. Same is true about his stockpiling of draft picks, unlike some teams that burn them in order to try to win now, disregarding the future. So,
should I play devil's advocate? Some would argue that drafting quarterbacks in the third round and then cutting them a year later does not put the team in the best of light.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was surprising that he pulled the plug after 1 year. I think most would say 2 years.
Right.
And if you don't see any promise after 2 years, then you probably would, you know, with a quarterback especially. And it's hard. That's the harder spot because the guy doesn't get to play. So you don't get to definitively close the book on him, you know? So, yeah, I do think Bill pulled the plug earlier than most organizations would have.
But I don't think he really cares about any of that crap.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. I do. I think it's a good thing that he's willing to do that. He knows that, you know, listen, where's the criticism go for that? 100% on him. You know,
I thought Fred was placing it on Pioli because he was still involved in that draft.
But, you know, my larger point being the powers that be, the brain trust, they brought him in. You know, whether it's Bill, Scott, whoever.
You didn't get the Kirsch memo? Anything good from the past is Bill. Anything bad from the past was Pioli.
That's true.
O'Connell was a Pioli pick, right?
I'd like to argue with Fred on that, but I kind of agree with it. So
he fell in love with Pioli with O'Connell at the combine, just like Eric Scalavino did.
Yeah. Eric is crushed, although not as much as Chris Gasper from the Boston Globe.
I didn't put that in SPFW, but in SPFW I do have a point where it says Eric Scalavino's man crush on O'Connell that started at the combine.
I talked to Chris a little bit today.
Carl Banks. I don't know if you know. He used to cover tight ends. Whew, like that. Except he was never asked to cover tight ends.
Let's see.
He lined up over him.
Andy from Ireland writes in, want to talk about Teddy Bruschi. I had to do a 10-minute oral presentation. Calm down, Eric. I mean talking. On people who overcome adversity for college last year. And I did it on him, and I really enjoyed it. I think he is pretty much a lock for the Patriots Hall of Fame. But I think he won't make it to Canton. What do you think?
Freddie, I was idiotic the question I posed
about
to you yesterday. I erroneously said, who gets in, Harrison or Bruschi? I left two candidates off the ballot who very well could be on the ballot. McGinnis and Law also potentially they retired after last year.
If they don't play
again,
if those two careers are over.
Four guys are on the same ballot.
Wow.
Which means one of them doesn't even make it to the internet.
That's what I was looking for,
that's
Freddie.
That's going to be fun.
This is what I've been looking for.
That's going to be fun.
So which one gets eliminated first and doesn't even make it to the internet?
Okay, well, hold on.
Voting?
Let me read the rest of this email, and then let's pose that. He goes, I also read a few rumors that could concern the Patriots. Apparently, Travaris Jackson is going to be shipped. Do you think he could be a good backup to Brady? I don't have much confidence in Walter Hoyer. And secondly, Florio reported that Deion Branch may be cut as he is too expensive as a third receiver.
Can I just touch on the Deion Branch thing?
Yeah.
Before we get all hot and bothered, I read this thing yesterday because I had someone call me about it. Florio didn't report that Deion Branch was going to get cut. There was a story that he linked to from Seattle that said specifically, whoever the writer was in Seattle.
Claire?
No. Specifically said, I don't think it's going to happen, but he is due to make $5 million as perhaps the third receiver behind Burleson and Hushmanzada. Perhaps that will be too expensive, and he could be a surprise candidate to get cut. The writer who wrote the story in Seattle said specifically, "I don't think it's going to happen."
And didn't somehow they give him money in
March?
That
has been the Patriots are going to take him.
Didn't they have a money in March?
Yeah.
So if
now,
you
he
thought
could get
that
cut.
Was a possibility,
he could get cut. I don't
that's
know.
That's a terrible decision to give him money in March and then.
But
cut
I'm just
him
saying
later.
The story that Florio meant. Linked to didn't say he was going to get cut, and that seems to be what everybody.
Regardless, I'll take him in a heartbeat. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely, he'd be a third guy.
You know what's been totally overblown? I realized when I looked at his numbers, his demise in Seattle. He's been Deion Branch who he was in New England. He just wasn't a number one receiver. He wasn't 100 catches and 20 touchdowns. He was like the games played. Now, his last year in New England was his best year, but his three previous years in New England compared to three previous years in Seattle, very similar in terms of games played, yards per catch, touchdowns, receptions. All of it is very similar. So I'll take him back in a heartbeat, and I'll tell you who else would. Number 12.
All right, let's go back to this question because this could turn into another one of these never-ending debates that are, you know, interesting. On the ballot, McGinnis, Law.
Harrison.
Brewski.
Brewski.
Is Troy Brown on it, too?
No, he retired a year
earlier.
The
year before?
He'll be in the hall. The year before that will be Drew Bledsoe.
You're going to have one more year where someone outside of the contemporaries will go in.
Right.
And then, in theory, you're going to get Drew.
Troy.
Then Troy. And then one of these four.
Okay, so
let's play the game.
If on the ballot,
eliminate
it's Law,
one.
McGinnis, Harrison, and Brewski. Who gets in first?
Well, first I'm asking, who are you eliminating? Because the internet vote is three players get put on Patriots.com for voting.
Right.
So somebody doesn't even make it to the website.
Right.
Who gets eliminated?
Ty Law, Alec Cooper.
Of those three, of those four?
I mean, I,
if you're asking me my personal opinion, McGinnis would be eliminated. But what I think is going to happen is Rodney will be eliminated because he played the least amount
played
of time.
Played the least
as a
amount
Patriot.
Of time.
And you know what'll be funny when he goes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame later.
Before he gets in the Patriots
right.
Hall of Fame? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think yeah. he will. But to me, of those candidates, he and Law have Pro Football Hall of Fame aspirations.
Yeah,
I'd
right.
still be in the conversation.
Ty Law, to me, is the answer to the question. He would be the guy that goes in. I have really no doubt that Brewski will be the guy that goes in first.
Probably. Well, he's the neatest package. Played 13 years,
oh,
all with
I,
the Patriots.
I can't wait to see you.
Had the
that.
Little discussion. Everybody cried.
That's going to be fun.
Well, first of all, can we all agree that these are four?
They're all going to go in.
They're all going to go in eventually.
Absolute lock,
right.
Solid, no argument
right.
to be
Actually,
made against.
My guess is
Hall of Famers.
All you people on that committee will change the rules and suddenly it'll be a class of four.
That's my guess.
Because that's what you people do, because you can't make a decision.
Which you will not even be able to contain.
I'm not on the committee, so it's you people.
Andy, you won't be able to contain my sarcasm when that happens.
Multiply yours by 1,000 and you'll get mine.
Because that's what I've been trying to get through to these people for 4 years.
You people will change the rules.
They can stretch this out for another 10, 15 years.
But then more people are going to be added. Kevin Falk will be added. Mike Vrabel will be added.
That's what you want. You want to stretch it out as long as you can.
Yeah, except when Willie McGinnis says, you know what, I'm not showing up to your stupid ceremony because it took 10 years for me to get in.
If the Patriots didn't have the success they had, we'd be running real dry right now.
Which
you
is
know?
Why,
and that could happen again in 20 years, you know?
Oh, I just saw that cheap hit that you talked about with Brett Favre. That was a cheap shot.
It was. He barrel rolled him.
Yeah.
Eugene Wilson.
Geno.
Hard hitting 6 years ago.
Geno said after 21? The game, goes, yeah, what was up with that?
I would have faked an injury and gone on IR.
Well,
I
he did grab his
knee. Oh, it was out of the Wildcat?
Oh, yeah. That's why
oh,
it was
I
a
didn't know
back.
That. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
who was running the Wildcat for that?
It was everything. Peterson? Everything about that play was cheap. And I also saw the play that Wilson didn't. Not, it was
whiffed.
Was it Chester Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So.
That's a great one, though. That's going to be our poll next week.
And that's going to happen.
Well, no.
That,
McGinnis and Law,
that Law
they could all
McGinnis
play.
Don't play again.
Right.
Brewski could play in November. We just talked about
that's
it.
That's true. Provided those guys don't play again.
The only guy
that's
we're pretty sure
happen.
Won't play is Harrison, right? I mean, sign a deal with NBC. You're kind of committed to something
no,
else.
Deion would do it.
Yeah. I don't think Rodney.
Yeah, they
back.
Brought Rodney.
Deion
up.
Would do the pregame on Saturday.
Well, Rodney would be the biggest fraud in sports. He ripped Favre. I mean, he made a mockery. He said, I don't want my teammates.
I would be very surprised to see Harrison come back.
They brought Harrison up for the fourth quarter of the Denver game Sunday night. And, you know, talking about Brady and McDaniels. And he said, and I don't think he meant it this way, but he said Josh McDaniels will be defined by how he handled the Jay Cutler situation. I think he meant, I hope he isn't defined, or could be. But,
I mean, yeah. I think you could argue that if he meant it.
Yeah, I think that's wrong, because I think if he listen,
that's like saying Belichick will be defined how he handled the Vinny Testaverde, Bernie Kosar thing.
There's no, yeah, but you can't take back how he handled it.
No, but
that's
a line.
Done.
Right. But to say
it's not what's going
to
happen.
I know, but to say what's going to happen in the first year of a guy's coaching career is going to be how he defines. That's kind of going out on a limb.
You could say if he goes on to succeed, if he has a lot of success, then you say he would not kowtow to the franchise quarterback, the superstar.
Right.
He did it his way, and his way was the right way. But his way might fail. They might go 4-12 this year, and he's out on his ear.
And that, but that could be his legacy as a coach.
Right.
Like you brought up the Testaverde thing. I think a lot of people, in retrospect, said that Bill actually did the right thing.
Right.
By replacing Kosar, but he didn't handle it right.
Right.
So I don't think that you can say he's going to be defined by how he handled the Jay Cutler.
Right.
He already handled it. It's over.
Right. Right.
So you're saying that he can't possibly succeed because he handled that poorly?
Right. See, I don't think he meant it that way, but that's what he said, and you know. So
don't get me wrong. I have my doubts about my boy Josh, because things are not going well.
He does not look good on the sideline. He looks all scattered. Like
the Denver era
is
over for
him already. You know, I know when you're a coach on the sideline, you have to be thinking of a lot of different things, and you know, being always a step ahead, couple steps ahead. But he just looks scattered out.
But beyond that, he was brought in to run an offense. He's an offensive mind, an offensive genius. He ran the quarterback out of town for that offense. He's running the wide receiver out of town, or they're running themselves, whatever you want to call it. And he's instituting this screen game timing offense that looks like crap. They got called for so many penalties on illegal linemen downfield, blocking while the ball is in the air, all these things that, in theory, even without all the talent, he should be able to get these guys to know that offense so well and perform. I think his Denver tenure is already over.
Yeah.
I'm really...
I think he's just too... He's not ready, period. He's not ready.
I'll take him back.
And he certainly made things a lot tougher on himself than they needed to be.
Yeah.
You know, right from the start.
But he probably doesn't look at it that
way. This Brandon Marshall thing...
Well, that guy's insane.
Did he even say that he met with Brandon Marshall and he really hadn't?
Oh, I don't know.
And he was exposed for that? I heard someone say that yesterday on the radio. I hadn't heard that.
I don't know. He hasn't handled it well.
Now,
but
Brandon Marshall,
back to coach
on the other hand, I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and say the players deserve better. I mean, Brandon Marshall's a buffoon. I mean, what he did on that practice field that day, punting the ball into the stand, you know, away from the ball boy and stuff, and not that was just so over the top ridiculous. But you got to do something better to handle the situation than Josh has done so far. I mean, I wish him well because I like him so much, but I'm with Andy. I really don't think it's going to end well in Denver for him.
It just isn't
Could
ready.
All change in 2 years when he signs a free agent
Can
quarterback
they possibly
by the
win
name
more
of
than
Tom
four?
Brady.
Can they win more than four games this year?
Sure they can. They play the Raiders.
They do play
the Chiefs.
They do play in the worst division in football.
Well, I was just going to say the AFC West
think
will
three
be
right
the worst
there.
Division in football.
I think they'll sweep one of those teams and win at least one from the other. So you got three wins right there off
the
bat.
I think the two West divisions are the worst two divisions, and I think the AFC is even weaker than the NFC. It's close, but I think that it's even weaker.
All right.
Let's
see. Good afternoon in Boston, and good morning from Manila, says Nico in the Philippines.
Nico.
It's been a worrying, busy, and surprising week. Tom Brady's shoulder injured, O'Connell released, and then Teddy retiring. I know this is off the target in what I am saying, but I just saw the video on the NFL Roundtable, which focuses on finding the guy, the franchise quarterback, and what distinguishes Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I was kind of wondering the guys would say, and then when Marshall Faulk says Tom was like Trent Dilfer, and then became Peyton Manning because he had a great Baltimore defense and kept saying he manages the game, I was scratching my head in disbelief. Then, to my surprise, it seems Michael Irvin is a Brady guy and kept defending him. That is not about the defense and managing a game. It was about his leadership. Now, guys, what do you think about this?
Marshall Faulk, a clown.
Yeah, he just doesn't like the Patriots.
Yeah, my feeling on this is I just don't understand why this bothers as many people as it does.
It does.
I Why? Really
because,
don't get that.
Because you look at sports dispassionately.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
How could anyone?
He looks at sports outside of Northeastern.
Well, yes.
But how could
you have a very cold approach to sports, except for Northeastern.
But, Fred, I've gotten arguments on this show for the stupidest thing. How could anybody say I lack passion?
You do.
How could you say I'm
dispassionate
about sports?
You have a cold approach to
sports. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I agree totally with what Andy just said. Marshall Faulk didn't need to say that to tell me that he's a complete and total buffoon.
But it
so
doesn't bother
you. What he
it
says.
Doesn't bother you because he's got a forum. He's got
who
a,
cares?
Who cares? Because everyone knows he's a clown. Because, do you think there's anyone out there that believes he's a great analyst?
Because as a Patriots fan, you're saying, why are they giving that buffoon a platform on NFL Network? Can't they find anyone better that's smarter?
Let me ask you
that's
this.
That's what bothers me.
Let
people.
Me ask you this. This is
Mark Schlereth?
Stop for a second.
Meryl Hodge?
Can you stop for a second? He tried to mess it up, but he said it wrong by accident. He said it right by accident. My point is, don't you recognize after a while where guys are coming from?
Absolutely.
Who, so I would care nothing more about Marshall Faulk saying something because I know he hates the Patriots because they beat him in 2001.
Here's
I would Chris Berman saying the Patriots
I know,
are the greatest.
I'm the producer,
I would completely throw that away too because I know he hosts the stupid gallery.
I know what you're
year.
Saying, but if I'm
not
the
anymore,
producer, if I'm the producer at NFL Network or the guy that's making the decisions, and Marshall Faulk is just a one-trick pony, I know he's then let's get somebody else in there. Because he's making my show look bad.
No, I understand what you're saying, and maybe he should lose his job. That's fine. But my point is, I don't care any more about him saying negative stuff about Brady and the Patriots than I do the guys that I know are really tight with the powers that be here that say positive things. I ignore
them,
too.
But that's okay.
I understand where you're coming from, but I ignore those guys. Michael Irvin, to me, that's impressive.
Right.
I don't know of any connection
Keyshawn,
he has.
Not impressive.
Keyshawn, I don't care about because I know he was in – some of our guys' weddings.
Right.
But it's become like politics where you kind of need to
know
the party designation
you have
of
to know
the
their angle.
Analysts.
But you don't even need to know the connection to have figured
to
out
know
that,
there
Marshall,
is, right.
that Marshall Faulk
where
is
guys
a complete
fall.
Total clown.
He's bitter.
Right.
He's bitter because they lost in a game that was going to make them a dynasty.
Right.
And he's bitter about it, and he lacks
and
all
I think
objectivity.
Everyone knows that.
But if Deion Sanders said something, that would carry right. water. That would hold weight with me. Because I think that he is not necessarily a guy who is on anyone's payroll. Maybe some of the defensive backs here or there, you know, individual guys. He's more of an individual guy than a team guy. He always has been.
Hey, I want to call out Mike for getting us lunch today.
Michael!
He says, go ahead, have another great show. Lots to talk about. Bruschi, Brady, Branch, Fars, Block, and Eugene Wilson. I'll be leaving for Fort Devens tomorrow. We'll hopefully get to buy lunch, meet the group after the Monday Nighter. Thanks, everybody, for their hard work, Chris Ferrer included, which translates into awesome entertainment. That's Mike Ivan Perez Serrano.
You killed my father. Now you must die.
And so he is our lunch buyer today. Thank you, Mike, and we look forward to meeting
you
at some point.
Thank you very much. Outstanding.
So,
gracias.
What was I going to say?
Lord only knows.
I don't know.
I mean, you really, at this point, right, 10 years in, someone who says that Brady just manages games, like you can really take that guy seriously?
Look at what he does, his awareness of the field.
I mean, how could you even waste a millisecond of time worrying about someone who says Brady's just
a
game manager?
And you know, we take it for granted that we have a quarterback who's like a coach on the field and who knows the playbook so inside and out that he can audible at any time and understand what's going on. Not every starting quarterback in this league can do that.
God, no.
You know?
Not a lot of quarterbacks who are considered good.
Right.
I mean, once you get out of like the top five, you take some bad with your good at quarterback.
Right.
There's four to five great. There's four to five pretty good. And then there's a precipitous drop off.
Right. Right.
I'm not even sure there's four or five great anymore.
Yeah.
Who's great? The two. Let's go beyond two.
Peyton and Brady.
I love Roethlisberger as much as any. Not sure he's great.
I think Roethlisberger is great. I think Rivers is
great. I'm not sure Roethlisberger is as cerebral as Manning and
Brady. Drew Brees the last couple of years has been great.
Yeah.
I put all those guys in the next tier. It's 30.
Wherever you want to put
Rivers, Brees, Palmer in a group, you know.
Palmer, I've kind
Palmer
of
not so
about,
much.
Because I don't know if he can even play.
Palmer, I'm not. Yeah, I think some of the luster's
I think Sanchez has a chance to.
Oh,
to,
not ready to go there yet.
Are you kidding? Based
looks,
on preseason?
He looks okay. I think he's going to be all right.
Fred's a little nervous about the Jets.
John in L.A. says, I wasn't able to listen that closely yesterday, but I heard that on EEI, Brady said, of course there are bumps and bruises. Anyone would be sore after a 350-pound man falls on you. Just ask Eric. Is this true? I don't think the ask Eric part was. Did he say?
Yeah,
His phone was breaking up, so yeah.
It was a bad sell. It was a bad sell.
We didn't get to talk about that though. Brady getting crushed by Haynesworth.
That was scary.
Clean play.
That was scary.
I think it was a clean play, but I see where Patriots fans were looking at it again because the NFL does not allow you to drive a passer into the ground, and I thought Haynesworth was borderline up and down, that driving momentum.
I see a drive as when your shoulder is into the quarterback and you're driving him in.
Or you pick a guy up and drill him into
and
the
I think Haynesworth, he was borderline to both.
I think Haynesworth just fell on him like a mattress, except it was a 350-pound mattress.
Then you see the play because he went up and down.
I saw it the way you said it.
Yeah. He didn't just fall on him. You didn't watch the play again.
He was flat. They were both parallel.
Nope, sorry, wrong.
Okay. Well.
Watch the replay.
Whatever. Anyway.
Don't argue here.
No. So
well, it's a fact.
Look.
I can draw the picture for you.
Here's the thing, though. You know, a lot of people go, oh, Brady's arm is at such a bad angle. It was actually at a better angle than it would have been if his arm was under him because that's when it comes out of the
joint. That's what I found weird is somebody said something about he didn't land on his forearm, which is a nice natural cushion. No, it isn't.
No,
that's putting a ton of pressure on that joint and drives it right out of socket, out of alignment.
His arm was extended above his head.
I think that's why it hurt rather than injured. Right.
Yeah, but you're not going to
pop it out.
Exactly.
I agree with you, but I do think you have the chance for more different injuries with the arm over the top. And I think you're talking about rotator cuff, labrum, stuff like that, that could have gotten stretched. I think your chances of a separation or something like you guys are talking about, you know, some kind of collarbone chip or something like that.
Right. I think it's almost guaranteed if 350 pounds
would have been bigger had
the
arm been down. But I think the chances for a serious injury were greater the way he went.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure because I think they're all soft tissue and there's more of a
gray area. Well, I think if he tears the rotator cuff, he's gone.
Well, whereas but he didn't, and that's my point. I think it's definitive that had he been on his forearm he would have gotten hurt.
It's definitive.
Virtually.
It's law. It didn't happen, but it would have been a separated
I think
shoulder.
If his forearm was planted on the ground and 350 pounds fell on it, he would have gotten hurt.
Yeah. And Eric's
I agree with you that there's chances of that kind of injury were bigger, but I think the chances for a more serious injury were greater the way it happened. Yeah, luckily, it didn't happen.
Eric's just back from practice.
That we think.
Bill already said he's not playing Thursday. Is that because he's not playing the final game or he couldn't?
All right, Eric's back. Now, Eric, you're wearing a very smart denim shirt, I see.
Smart denim?
What do you mean by that?
What does dumb denim look like?
It's snazzy.
Yeah, no. Is it faded? Or
it's snazzy.
Leave it to Andy.
I think that's, I don't know. It's kind of gay.
It's nice.
I heard somebody refer to it. What was Christina call it?
Well, Christina was joking. She was saying she would pay to see me in this shirt and jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And my cowboy
boots. Mr. Denim.
Because she said she wanted to see me in a Canadian tuxedo.
What's Canadian tuxedo?
Is that all denim?
It's all denim and cowboy boots,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
So we'll have to see if we can arrange that. But
easy, creepo.
What?
So Eric's here. Are those your binoculars?
Yes, sir.
Oh, those are nice.
Thank you.
That's a nice
case.
Is
that what you use, creepo, to look at Christina from afar?
So what do you got today, hi-ho?
I don't have to look from afar.
Now, do you have a new watch?
Now, we did have the return of Sammy Morris yesterday, Fred. You see that?
Looks like a smart watch.
Eric's update yesterday, Sammy Morris was back at practice yesterday.
Oh, he was. You were talking about Brady when I came in?
Talk about the
shoulder.
First
we were
talking about, forget it. There was a reference to you in an email.
Was he out there again?
Yes, he was out there again, but he was throwing today, unlike yesterday when he was just handing off.
Brady?
Interesting, because it was reported that he threw yesterday, according to Adam Schefter on NFL Network. Brady was back on the practice.
He was out there yesterday, and he really didn't do anything in the way of throwing.
He probably got a call later saying,
did he do any throwing? Yeah, okay.
But he did actually do, in
front of us,
he did
some throwing. So Brady was out throwing. How did he look?
Like nothing ever happened, yeah. Exactly.
Good. That's a sigh of relief. Aren't you happy?
Pac-Man Jones sign with
if you were Bill Belichick,
Blue
would you
Bombers?
Let him play a series?
He's not going to.
Thursday? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely
no.
Not.
Bill already said he's not playing.
I might not even let him in the facility.
No, and I'll tell you why. Not because of the shoulder, though. Because you got rid of O'Connell, then you got to show me something with Walter
That's
and Hoyer.
That's true.
And you got to give them as many reps
as possible.
You
all right with O'Connell?
For me,
going?
It's because of the shoulder. I'm
not taking
so you know.
I'm not taking
your boy, your man crush.
As happy as we were yesterday, I was disappointed with
disappointed.
What were you disappointed
with? O'Connell.
Oh,
you know. Exactly.
You're going to be okay.
I might cry like Bill did yesterday.
It's going to be even worse if he's like out of football.
All right, so what else can you tell us about practice?
So Sammy Morris, as he said, was back yesterday, but he had the red shirt, as did Darius Butler. Both of them had their normal jerseys on, so that's a good sign. It means I can get hit now if necessary.
Very good sign.
And Will Height is in his regular,
Will Height's been in his regular, yep, for the last
together
few days.
At the right time here, boys.
Mike Wright, who's missed some time, back on the field today.
Nice.
So that was another good sign.
He was in the game, though. He played, right?
No, sir.
Mike Wright didn't play in the game?
No.
I don't believe Mike Wright made
I could
the
have
trip,
sworn.
No.
No,
he's been out for
Mike
the last...
Mike Wright, making it look easy. So, Fred, he's in New England.
Who's
and
the other white defensive lineman that they have that's 99? Whatever.
I think your eyes were deceiving you.
Really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I could have sworn I saw Mike Wright out in the field.
You sure he wasn't wearing
what?
A white
what?
Jersey?
Fred's right. Mike Wright played against
Thank
Washington?
You.
He started.
Thank you.
Did he really?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. It was Seymour, Wright, Will Fork, and Warren.
He's
Idiots.
Missed so much practice.
I
time.
Didn't know for sure. I was
laughing.
I,
well, because
no,
I'm
laughing because you said, who's the other one?
You're an ass.
Lineman who wears 99.
Don't give me that. I wasn't laughing at
right.
you.
Right.
No, I was laughing at that, not whether he
oh,
played or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Anyway.
I actually made the error of when Paul says, I don't believe he played. I go
you
with
you
got
to remember, even though I wasn't
but
there, I was
I
blogging.
I didn't say he didn't. I said, I don't believe he made the trip. I thought he was one of those
blogging
guys that didn't.
With no pants on. I
However, that's twice my
orgy.
Trusty little notebook came in handy this shelf. You always make fun of the notebook.
Yeah, and twice your trusty little brain let us down. I always, when
How's
you say,
How
he didn't
time?
Go. He didn't go.
How the first time? Because
I, don't know,
because I didn't
that
say.
Was blaming you.
Because I didn't say definitely
that's
he would have
That's what I turned to him
shoulder.
For, is those useless minutia figures and facts.
Andy says, it's a fact, definitive. If Brady's arm was down, would have been a separated shoulder.
I think it's if he lands like this on with
fact.
350 pounds on him, I say it's guaranteed 9 times out of 10 separated.
Oh,
you
go 9 times
guaranteed.
Out of 10? No, that's 90%.
Well,
that's not
that's definitive. Works 70% of the time,
it's
100% of the time.
It's as guaranteed as those contracts we were talking about the other day.
Which ones are those?
Remember the one that said he's got a guaranteed contract of between 10
X
and $15
and
million?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. It's an NFL
it was
guarantee.
Like, it was 38.3 or something like that.
It's an NFL guarantee that he would have been injured. They're not worth the paper they were written on. A
couple of down notes on practice. Maroney has missed his second straight practice.
Oh.
He was in the locker room today. We saw him. But,
yeah, I joked with him.
Not on the field. And it's there were two good. Tight ends missing, but not one of them was Benjamin Watson.
Oh.
I'll be worse
who
off
were
if
the
it
two?
One of
Dave
was Baker.
Thomas, who's missed his second in a row now, and Chris Baker, the starter,
ooh,
who's been the starter throughout preseason.
They
so
might
far.
Barely have 45 for this game.
And your guy Pryor, I don't know what his deal is. He's can't play anymore. He hasn't been on the field.
Okay.
He missed all this time. He
Again,
started.
Worked up.
No, I feel bad.
What a
I
bad mean, drop that was for Steve Smith in that preseason.
Do you
games.
Feel bad about, I mean, remember, he's still a sixth-round pick.
Right.
I know we got all excited when he was starting games and went out there with the ones, but.
Well, that was, I mean, that's a story.
It's
that's
all
an
relative.
Exciting story, though, no?
Yeah, but now you think he's supposed to perform like that every week and always supposed to be out there with the ones, and now you're upset that he's.
He can't even practice.
Had that not happened, you
there?
Wouldn't even have noticed.
No.
He'd be George Bussey.
Sean Springs was not out there.
No. He continues to miss
he's
all
He's just not
going to
play, and he's just going to play in the first game.
Who are we talking
if
about?
He makes the team. He makes the team, Fred.
Sean Springs.
Springs played in the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
He's just not going to play. We're just going to do whatever he wants. You're really down on him?
But he did play.
I'm disappointed.
But
I
it's not like he missed the whole sign. He did play in one game.
Played in one
He's
game.
He's not going to play Thursday.
Played in one game, practice in two.
And your guy, Edelman, continues to be a no-show.
Edelman out.
He's been out.
Just not going to return punts in practice now? Nah, just throw him out there against
He can do everything. He doesn't need to practice anymore.
Rookies got their haircuts.
Your roller coaster is unbelievable.
A fan should be happy.
Oh,
you know the rookies
good?
Got the haircuts. Well, I only saw from in the locker room.
Jake
when
the
we
Snake?
Got out there.
What did he look like?
Jake the Snake, they let him keep his hair. They're going to braid it tomorrow, he said.
What?
Ornberger had
Ornberger.
Who's they?
All those
Ornberger
Hawaiians.
Had a nasty.
Who are these guys that are braiding men's hair?
Well, Ornberger has issues with his hair to start with. That salty
the grayness.
Old
yeah. Well, he
guy.
Looks like Gray Rugen.
Well, he had his head shaved, but he had like it would look like a at least a small mohawk with a point in the back. He had a hat on the whole time in the locker room, so
Good
we couldn't
call.
Really see.
I think it's really unfair that they do this before the cuts. Because you could get you could be made to look a fool and then get cut.
They got cuts before cuts.
And all of a sudden you're going for a job at some
right.
accounting firm and you're
and
like,
I say,
well,
yeah, I got
just
cut
shave
by
it
the
off.
Patriots.
Then you just
I think it actually helps me get the job. But, I mean, did Jake Ingram go with, I'm Hawaiian, it's part of my culture? I mean, because I don't think it's really part of his culture.
No, he just laughed it off and said, yeah, they're not going to cut it, but they're going to braid it. So that should be bizarre.
I think he got off a little easy.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's in for a rude awakening
when
they braid it and then
Pat
cut
Chung,
the braids off later.
Pat Chung hasn't had anything done so far. You know, remember when Maroney was drafted, they cut his eyebrows so
right.
that they wouldn't get that. Chung hasn't had anything done
you sure?
yet. So,
did you ask?
Well, I looked at him today. He had the eyebrows
did you look
and his
everywhere
hair.
There's hair?
Oh, for God's sake.
I think they should come up with something different.
No, actually, it's you. I'm sure you looked everywhere there's hair.
Speaking of traditions.
You are known as a pickle
speaking
man.
Speaking of traditions. Do the Patriots carry on the post-game tradition of how do we feel blank?
About Teddy Bruschi retiring?
Or do they come up with a new one?
I think they come up with a new
one. And who does it?
That's to be determined.
Adalys Thomas.
I think AD is a good candidate, but I would definitely not do it after the first game.
Mayo! Yeah.
Give it
whatever they want to
do. Anything after the first game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe they just continue doing it. By the way, maybe it's just somebody else does it, but it's a tribute to Teddy Bruschi.
Might be Julian Edelman.
But I think as a tribute, as a tribute to Bruschi,
when he leaves the training room,
I think you all come together, and then when it's done, you just kind of like don't have one of those how do we feel about moments.
Or you could do the Jim Zorn hip hip
hooray.
I am
really
a loser.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
You didn't see. There was a whole SportsCenter thing on, like, they really did it.
Hip, hip, hooray?
Yeah. I mean, even you think that's undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU.
Rhymes with hooray?
Yeah. So ridiculous.
Gray.
All right.
So is that it, Eric?
That's all you got?
That's a good report.
That'll do. It's a Friday practice on a Tuesday. A
lot of media?
Nah, no more than usual. No.
A little bit of a change I'd like in the practice report.
What's that?
In light of our audience, maybe you could just, because I was really pumped up when you started. You were like, so-and-so's back, and so-and-so's back, and the red jerseys are off. And then you were like, and so-and-so didn't practice. So start with the negative and then finish on the high.
You want to end on a high
note?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do
we
that.
We want to build to a furor.
Well, I did see Brady, you know, in the hallway here, and he looked great.
Not that great, Fred. According to the Wall Street Journal's analysis of his face and all 32 starting quarterbacks' faces, he's like the eighth best-looking quarterback.
However, I am not going to have this show being talking about who's handsome. So
that is bizarre.
That'll be for Rook of the
Queen.
But
it's not a choice.
You see what they did it on?
Yeah, it's symmetric. It's mathematical. Yeah. It's 99% of somebody's face is symmetric, and 98.
How could Roethlisberger then be there? His face got all mashed up from that motorcycle accident.
That's a good point.
It's not even his face anymore.
His face?
Yeah.
He's overrated.
You look at how Roethlisberger looked before the
accident. He's in it.
Unbelievable.
He looks different.
Fred hasn't seen it, and he's putting a guy in it. I don't know if he was in the top 20.
Oh, yeah, he was. Roethlisberger was in the top 5.
He was ahead of Brady.
Yeah.
See, but this is...
Because he's great.
We're
he's
now upset that Brady's not considered more handsome. He's wicked handsome.
Well,
it is a little ridiculous.
Like I said, I'm not going to get into that conversation on this show.
Screw the computers. I'll go with the women. And I think the women, universally,
I think
Jets fans would pick
I think 100
Brady.
Women out of 100 would consider Tom Brady better looking than Ben Roethlisberger.
Right. They all think he's good looking.
Although there is one woman
that
we work
with. That's an Andy Hart-like guarantee.
There is one woman upstairs that we work with that thinks Roethlisberger is mega hot. I don't want to.
Roethlisberger is on the list.
Give me a hint, Paul.
Who
list is that? I just said he was like in the top 5.
Is that maybe a graphic designer?
I think Brady's 8.
Somebody was saying that.
Favre's ahead of him. Roethlisberger is ahead of him.
Favre is like 2. Roethlisberger was like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers is like 9.
And he's an ugly SOB, in my opinion.
Who is?
Philip Rivers. Fred's mad because now we're discussing quarterbacks.
I think they're all regular-looking guys.
This is the
Fred, can you button it up a little, Fred?
What, is it scaring you?
It is.
Are you threatened by my manhood?
Not threatened.
Fred's
by it.
Still
it's
got
just,
all his hair,
disgusting,
including on his chest. How's the man groomer going? The
but
back?
Not his back.
Uh oh,
Paul!
What the hell? Paul just unbuttoned his shirt. Oh my god!
Hank Hill just popped out from King of the Hill.
I wanted to be like Fred.
It looked like Elmer's glue is so pasty.
He's been waiting to use that line. You could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Paul just looked at me like, how could you say that?
No, I'm looking at you and I'm saying, all I see is red. It's like no white, no tan. It's just red.
All right.
Is that blood pressure?
At least it's color.
Yes,
what
he's about
hell
to
are
die.
You guys up to now.
Hi, Eddie. Speaking about.
Stop.
Anyway, Mike in Raleigh wants to know, he says he has a question.
So an hour and a half in is the answer, Paul, when we spin off the axis and stop talking football, even on a busy day for football talk.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Brian, he wants to know, is Brian Lowe freakishly tall? Are you guys all super short? In the pictures you all posted on the blog, he looks like a giant.
He's not a giant, but he's
tall.
He's
got to be 6'2 or 6'3, and we're all short. We're all
5'7",
Andy's
5'9". You say you're 5'9", but you look taller than that, Paul.
You're not 5'7".
That's because I say I'm 5'9", and I'm sure...
I'm taller than you, I'm not 5'7".
You are not taller than me, son.
I think I'm listening.
It's a fact. Just stand next to each other. Paul can argue some of the other facts, but you two stand next to each other. One of you is going to be taller.
But you got to take the elevator
shoes off. Now, does he get credit for his hair, the poof?
The poof.
Because you don't have a pool.
No, I
don't.
No, no.
I'm listed at 5'10", but I'm not 5'10".
I'm listed at 5'9".
I'm closer to 5'10".
5'8 change.
I don't know.
Lying down or standing up?
Oh. Mike also says, Eric, didn't get the memo that it's August. Why is he wearing jeans and a long sleeve shirt to a ball game?
Because I felt like it, a-hole.
Wow.
That struck a nerve. His whole face changed and he got mad.
Oh, he's very upset.
I do
now.
Have to say this. When we got there, that was we had that long stretch of like heat wave. It was ridiculously muggy here, and that it finally broke that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we flew down to Baltimore, and we got right back into that ridiculously muggy.
Yeah.
Getting off the plane was uncomfortable. And when we all met to go out that night, I was stunned that all you got. I mean, Andy always wears shorts, so I don't have to worry about him. But he and I were the only ones.
Well, I thought it was going to be nighttime and it would cool off a little bit.
Why?
You guys went to the Orioles game.
It was a million degrees out.
It was fun.
At night
it usually gets cooler.
I know you
wouldn't,
because you're a party pooper.
I have no interest in going to any baseball game except the Red Sox.
But why can you go to a wings place and eat wings and watch a game on TV?
That's different.
We were at the place, but we were basically just having beers, kind of watching.
I didn't go to watch a baseball game. Much like if the Ravens were playing, I wouldn't have gone to watch a Ravens game.
No,
I would
have
gone for the experience of seeing the stadium.
Right,
just no interest.
And it was a great stadium.
No,
we got
camp
for $9.
Yeah,
park.
Absolutely.
And we both, yeah, Andy, and I each called a home run.
If it was, you know,
mine
we didn't catch
it.
We were in Miami. I wouldn't have gone to.
Should have run over
a Marlins game.
He's gonna hit one. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. He's been hanging on. John, how you doing?
Besides having on hold fatigue, I'm okay.
When.
All right.
Been 34 minutes.
Nice.
34
he
minutes. Good.
Okay.
That's dedication.
I'll go with the easy question first.
Fred?
You know, you guys spent a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks we have on the roster, O'Connell being cut, you know, potential quarterbacks out there. What about, you know if the Pats have been working out Edelman at the position at all this summer?
I don't believe so. Certainly not as a
regular
quarterback.
And he hasn't been practicing of late anyway, so that's kind of a moot point.
I mean, he's 5 foot nothing.
100 and nothing.
And he hasn't been on the field since the Cincinnati.
He's a hair taller than Wes Welker. That's literally. So
He's not a candidate to play quarterback in the NFL. Now, he could be, you could make an argument if they decided Walter was their backup and they're going to have him.
Yeah.
He can always be around as an emergency guy to take snaps. Yeah, he could do that. But
the day he plays,
he can't play quarterback.
The day he plays is the day before they sign another quarterback.
Speaking of short quarterbacks, Paul, you would have loved this at the U.S. Open last night. It was like the opening night.
I can't believe Venus Williams.
They had before the first match, they interviewed some athletes that were doing good work in the community. They had David Robinson next to Doug Flutie. It looked like Doug Flutie could go in his breast pocket and be a little puppet.
I saw that. Yeah. That was funny.
Well, that's the long and the short of it from Fred Curry.
All right.
Okay, now for the second question.
Okay, John.
Or comment. This could be a little bit touchy to some people, but do you guys think BB is a better strategist, game planner than a talent evaluator?
Yeah, but I think he's really, really good at both.
Right.
I mean, if you just consider the last, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah, if I had to pick one thing that he could do for me, I'd say get me ready for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's better at game planning, but I think he's really, really good at recognizing what he needs in terms of talent, too.
Especially to fit his own system.
I mean, it's a lot more. See, the thing that makes that hard, John, is when a guy puts together a bad game plan, you or I don't really know that.
Right.
But when a guy drafts somebody who's a bust, you see it. The guy doesn't play. So there's plenty of times that he's put together game plans that probably haven't been as good as others that you don't know about.
And he probably won a lot of those games.
Philadelphia Eagles was probably one of them a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John. Thanks for calling.
I'm going back to sleep now.
All right. Along the same lines, Mark in Nova Scotia says, would you say that the release of Kevin O'Connell starts to shatter the image that the Patriots are one of the better drafting teams in the league?
People have really turned on this because now we're getting a lot of comments and emails. And I think it's ironic because I said to you, Paul, I think this draft in a year or two is going to look back at those 2002-03 drafts when you were getting Jarvis Greens and Dan Copens on the second day that were becoming starters or key role players for you. I think this draft right here is going to be a very good one.
And I also think last year's draft was pretty good. And I think that when you look overall, it makes sense because when they started and they were down the bottom and they drafted in 2001 was their first real draft, because they came in February before, right. You know, 2 months before the first draft, they kept Bobby Greer and all those collection of stiffs making the selections.
Wow.
They didn't have a great draft in 2000. But 2001, obviously, Seymour and Light right off the go. No, they did get Brady in 2000. You know, we'll ignore that for a second. And then you had a couple of good drafts that were the basis of your team, guys like Samuel and Wilson and Dan Copen and a lot of guys that have been around for a long time. Then when you get great, it's hard to get a fifth-round pick who comes in and starts and is an integral part of your team. But now you're kind of going through that cycle where – Bruschi yesterday, another piece, you know, there's only one guy left that was around for all of that success. And you look at all the key draft picks that have played and played well over the last few years, Logan Mankins and Nick Cashier and guys like that, none of them have won anything.
Right.
They haven't won any Super Bowls. So it's I think Andy's right. I think when you look back at 07 and now 08, or 08 and 09, I should say, You're gonna look back at these drafts like you look back at Richard Seymour and Matt Light, right. I think, and 4 second-round picks that all look like they were hits.
And I don't think there are a lot of teams that hit consistently on second, third, fourth-round picks.
Nobody does.
Well, no.
I mean, I think the biggest thing you can say about Belichick is he hits on his one more often than not. Even his misses aren't...
Not egregious.
Yeah. And even Lawrence Maroney is frustrating because he shows flashes of talent, and Daniel Graham was a great blocker. And these guys that are bust first-round picks are still starters and contributors to your football team. They don't have a lot of guy flat-out can't play in the National Football League. There's plenty of teams out there that draft players in the top dozen that are out of their scheme 2, 3, 4 years later, and we're getting worked up because a third-round pick didn't fit.
I mean, you have Mayo, Wheatley, and Wilhite from last year, and Al Crable's still here, hasn't done anything, he could go, who knows. But that's three guys that figure to be part of your team, and two of those guys are going to be starters,
right?
With Will Hyde and Mayo.
If you could pick up two new starters every year out of the draft, my God.
And that draft was just last year.
Yeah, Fred, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, especially in this era, yeah.
So I think that I think they draft pretty well as a rule. I think at their best, I think they were a little overrated. Now I think they're very underrated. I think that every year, with the exception of that one year that they just completely mailed it in, the Kareem Brown year,
right.
Every year they pick up guys that generally help them in some capacity. And I don't think every team can say that.
The ironic thing about this year's draft was they had 11 going in and they had 12 when it was all said and done. And we kind of thought that was too many picks to make because you have to sign them all and then getting space for them on the roster to get into camp. But it's turning out that a lot of these guys are going to end up contributing.
And don't forget, a guy like Tyrone McKenzie and Brandon Tate.
Right.
We might not even – well, we won't see McKenzie this year, and we may not see Tate.
This is going to go
down.
That's
stockpiling
for the
future.
This is going to go down, sure. I think. I think Andy's absolutely right. I think in 5 years, people are going to look at this as a foundation draft.
Mm-hmm. But,
this
I mean, do people look
draft.
At other draft? I can't say that I've done a ton of it where you go every team year by year, and you can't do it. I know some people try to do it with numbers like – X number
doesn't
of guys
work.
Still with the team. I don't care if he's still with the team. If he sucks, he sucks. I don't
and
care whether he's still on the roster
and
or not.
And if the team's not that good, there's more room.
Right. So it's almost impossible to do because it's, you know, there's so much opinion involved. This guy's good. This was a good third-round pick.
The amazing thing are the teams like Detroit. Why aren't they better?
Who screw it up consistently at the top.
Pittsburgh has done a very good job consistently.
I think Pittsburgh is better than the Patriots.
Indianapolis
personally.
Does a very good job in the draft consistently.
I have to say Pelion.
Philadelphia.
Can tell talent.
Does a very good job. Listen, it's no surprise.
Those are the four teams
that have probably been as consistently good as anybody. The Giants. Throw the Giants in there. They generally draft pretty well, too, and especially lately with Jerry Reese. And they've had, what, 4 playoff years in a row, back-to-back double-digit win season. So that's in this day and age, that's pretty good consistency.
Mm-hmm. Andy from Green Bay, Wisconsin, says he loves the show. Teddy's going to be missed. But the question he has is Mangini versus McDaniels, who would you take as a head coach?
McDaniels.
Mangini versus McDaniels, who would you take?
I would tend to say McDaniels, but you mean you asked me in the middle of November, and I might change my mind.
Yeah, you can't take Mangini. You take McDaniels and give him a strong general manager.
I agree. I'll be honest with you. I never thought much of
I didn't
Eric Mangini as a coordinator.
And that's why I'm going
at
with
least McDaniels. I loved as a coordinator. Yeah. They both, so far, are questionable head coaches.
That's why I go with McDaniels.
And not just winning and losing. They both handled a lot of stuff questionably.
I think Josh was a better coordinator, and that's what I'm basing it on.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Ken writes in, so McGinnis, Law, Harrison, and Brewski all on the ballot for the Patriots Hall of Fame in the same year.
Maybe.
I'd still be surprised if Brewski wasn't the nominee. Harrison, a close second. McGinnis, third. Law would be the odd one out. Now, with Harrison gone and Brewski gone, who are the team motivational leaders on defense? I think
Will Fork?
I think Mayo's going to be that guy.
I think Mayo will be in there. I think Adalys Thomas is going to be in
there.
Now,
I know the rookie
that's in Mayo.
I don't know if it is.
I see a big difference between personality-wise, just, you know, in the interviews, that's all we get to see them, this year and last year with Mayo. I think he's a lot more confident about himself.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen much of a difference in him.
Not really.
I think he's a terrific guy to talk to. I don't think talking to the media is a problem. I don't think he likes it all that much, but he does it, and he's reasonably good at it. I think he's,
Eric doesn't like him.
No, I didn't say I don't like him. I just don't think he's a great interview. What are you talking about?
Giving you things?
Yeah, he talks nicely, but he has
giving
like,
you things doesn't make him a great interview. That makes him a great media guy. They're not looking for that. They're looking for a guy who says a lot and says nothing while doing it. And
he does that. He says a lot without saying anything.
Mike Vrabel.
And he does it in a nice way.
Never said a thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're looking for.
He does it in a nicer way than Vrabel did.
Yeah, that's why I think he's fairly good at it. But I don't think – I don't know. It strike me as like a real –
He's not a rah-rah kind of guy.
Fire and brimstone
rah-rah
guy.
No, I don't think he'll be that. But I think he's going to be a spoken leader as well as a actions leader.
I think Wilfork, potentially, if he's
– I wouldn't hitch to that wagon.
Well, you
might
know what
be
I'm
out
saying.
Of town.
Well, that's,
I don't like Will Fork.
Saying
that
his frame of mind.
Jimmy Sanders, I think, is an example leader who's not going to say a ton.
It's got to be AD. Of all those people, he's the natural one.
AD, and I think Bill talked about Bill
is
talked
he the
about
natural
Merriweather
one? Do you
yesterday.
Know that?
Yeah, I mean, he's the one that
theoretically he
Merriweather
should be,
does talk a lot of trash.
Bill talked about Merriweather and Sanders yesterday in that interview on EEI. Mm-hmm. And I think that I agree with you on Sanders. I think he's more of a quiet example type guy.
Yeah, he's sick.
Whereas I think Merriweather is a little bit more chatty. So he could, if he's a good enough player,
in that Mike Tyson voice,
he could develop into that.
Come on, guys, beat everybody.
Mike and Sharon's telling us that the rookies had their haircuts done last night at the gala.
At the gala?
At the gala.
They actually did the cutting at the gala?
That's
very, very good idea to make that a
before the gala.
Oh,
what's
okay.
that?
It was done before the gala. When they came up to talk, they had their hair cut.
Oh, well, I know.
Oh, they should do it during the gala.
That's what I thought. I was thinking you could pay a grand to be the guy who actually shaves his head or something.
That would be
that's
worthwhile.
That's what I was thinking. Like they made it out to be a
right.
big
And I'd do it.
That would definitely be a worthwhile thing for the fans.
If I had a grand.
If I only had a brain.
I said grand.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that applies too.
Let's see. David Queens says, did any of you get a chance to read the story that ESPN the magazine had on Belichick this week? It was well done and gave a great look on how he builds his coaching infrastructure. And second, it looks as though Branch is most likely going to be a cap casualty. You think he might end up back here? I don't think that bridges were completely burned. Again, it was a speculation. Now it's right. most likely going to be cut.
That's why, and that's the only reason why I mentioned it, because a lot of people are talking about it. Look, he could get cut. I don't know. But the story that Mike Florio referenced said that he probably won't get cut, but he's a candidate for a surprise because of that $5 million number and seemingly his third receiver status. I mean, I don't understand why.
You know how they always say,
I don't
this
know
is
why
they
so
hate
much
the media.
Money for a third.
This is why they hate the fans, because they read what they want to read.
But I don't know why $5 million is so much money for a third receiver. To me, a third receiver is a starter nowadays. So if he's if he's a productive third receiver, I don't understand why you can't pay $5 million for that.
Oh, if he came back here, he'd probably be the second receiver. Right?
On this
well,
team,
the whole.
I mean, if you're going
is
by
Welker, the two or the
I'm
three.
I'm going by the two outside. The two outsides are generally your one.
I think he'd be a starter.
He's better in the slot, but I don't understand. You know, I think he'd be a tremendous addition to the offense. I think you'd be. I think the Patriots would jump all over that.
On the phone is Dave from Manhattan. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, good. You just read my email.
Okay, see you later. No, just kidding.
All righty. I think the main reason why I want to call is CMG has read that article on Belichick. It's a great, great article that you guys were just talking about, other coaches that came from him as far as Mangini and McDaniels. And it goes in to show, like, how in-depth his insight is on every aspect of the game and the fact that a lot of his coordinators are not exposed to every angle of the way he coaches. He basically, the way they put it in the article is he funnels the game plan down to the two coaches, and they basically go teach the players, tell them what to do, but they never really have a full understanding or see the entire concept of the team that Belichick has put together. And that's why they say a lot of the guys like Mangini, I know Weiss, and Weiss didn't leave on the greatest terms.
Weiss
they
did?
Say that. They had issues. They had issues.
They had issues, and then they made up.
Right. But that was like 2 years before.
Yeah.
Back when he left. Back when they were leaving. They point out that there's a lot of the times when like other coaches like Dungy, his coaching tree, they all leave and they worship him. A lot of times when and they end up being relatively successful. A lot of times, Belichick's guys leave. They like. Now, every single one of his coordinators that have left leave don't really have a full concept of what Belichick is doing. And there's a great line in there saying it's almost impossible to copy a person that's still learning. And it's kind of like what Belichick is. And just give it a read if you got a chance. That's all I wanted
to say. Yeah, no, I read it. It was great. It was a great piece. I liked it a lot. And it was a lot of stuff in there that I don't think everybody – I learned stuff, and you know, we're here every day. So there's some information in there that I don't think is common knowledge.
How do you like? What do you think of that ESPN the magazine?
I'm not a big fan of it. I thought that piece in particular was pretty good.
They usually have pretty good features.
I normally skim through it. I saw an article on Belichick and I read it and I thought it was really good. A lot of the stuff is a lot of puff pieces and everything, but I thought they did a good job.
They do have a lot
of
filler.
Yeah, there's a lot of filler. I do like the way they put together their preview, and they did it by division. They have a page for each. Yeah, they had a page for each division. I was a little surprised they had a formula or something, and they had the Patriots 11-5. Which I thought was a little low. Yeah, I did. They had Casey Joyner stuff. Andy's pretty tight with Casey Joyner. He has all these different lineman rankings where best point of attack blockers, worst, best second level guys getting to the second. Logan Mankins, I think, was on that. Stephen Neal was the best at point of attack, I think, or one of the best. And then guys, in all different really minutia in terms of – I don't know what the ranking system is.
Let me guess. Merrill Hodge thinks that the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl.
I don't know if they. I think it was Jaworski and Gruden, I think, were the only two guys.
Jaws.
And I think they both picked the Patriots. No. One of them picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, and the other one, I think, picked San Diego. They may have both picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, now that I think of it.
Okay. All right, Dave. Thanks for the call. All right. That's Dave from Manhattan.
Yeah, you would like the story, Fred, because – when we talk about this all the time, but it backs up when you trying to emulate Belichick is not the problem.
Right.
Because anybody could do that and be successful. And it makes sense to try to emulate him. No one has the intellect to do it. So the point that the author, I think it was Seth Wickersham, was trying to make was, yes, it's right to try to duplicate it, but emulating him is impossible.
Did you guys say, what is that saying? Often copied, but rarely
replicated,
or something like that. Yeah,
often imitated, never duplicated.
Something
is that what you
like
were thinking
that.
Of?
Maybe Eric, you probably something know.
He has to say it with a tone.
Did you right? He has to scold me. You know, is that what you're trying to say?
Right. He couldn't just say no. I think what it is and just say in a regular tone. He's going to be
scolding.
I was the Prince of Pomposity.
Yeah, did you guys happen to
the Queen of Pomposity?
Good, Fred.
You missed that.
What did he say?
Nothing.
The Queen of Pomposity.
Yes,
bitch.
Wow.
No, that would make you
did
a
you guys,
bitch.
Did you guys see McDaniels last week?
No.
When he had the press conference
He's
about Brandon Marshall?
I did.
Andy and I were.
You know I to, did because, you know.
I was talking to these two clowns.
I didn't see it. No.
I was nude in the room with
now.
You.
Wow. Huh.
Mm-hmm. No, because we were talking about the question about him being a head coach or Mangini, who you would pick. And Andy and I both were commenting about how nervous he looked at that press conference.
He looks nervous on the sidelines.
All the time.
Yeah.
He had an itchy hat. Leave him alone.
He didn't have an itchy hat. But he had like this, he couldn't
the
get
the words
out.
The hat was itchy. Maybe the tag was a little weird.
It's like,
I think this is getting to him. I think he needs to go back to the coordinator, take 10 years, and then maybe give it another shot.
10 years?
Yeah. I really do.
Wow.
I really do.
10 years.
Until he grows up. He's too young.
And he's never going to grow up.
He's
maybe
only
Josh
too
will.
Young if he loses.
Who was I looking at? The head coach of the Texans.
Gary Kubiak.
Yeah.
See how he's aged? This is a tough job. It is a real hard job being an NFL head coach.
I haven't seen him lately, actually.
Oh.
I think he kind of looks kind of young.
How old is Gary Kubiak?
From 2 years ago, he looks really older.
But isn't he, like, in his late 40s?
I don't care.
Yeah.
My point is, isn't he at the time where you could start noticeably age in a hurry?
I mean, look at Paul.
Look, I'm saying that this is a real, real hard, you know, today's NFL.
How much grayer is my hair today than it was last year at this time?
You know, the stuff that's still here.
The money that's on the line, the owners that are on you, the pressure that you have, it's a real tough job.
I mean,
Bill doesn't look that much older than when
he
started.
It's easy.
Well, Bill doesn't look that much older than when he started.
When he started here. I don't think he looks all that much older. No.
Go back and take a look.
He looks a lot older than when he was at the Browns.
Go back and take a look at some of the photos of Belichick when he first started and look at him now.
I might be with you, Eric.
I don't think he's aged considerably.
And I think it depends on his haircut. I think when his hair is long, he looks old, and then he cuts it, and he looks like a boy again.
Yeah, I think that his hair is not great.
If you're not absolutely sure about what you're doing and so on and so forth, I can see that this job taking a toll on this person.
Yeah, you're working 16 hours a day.
And when you're young like that and everything you're doing now is not turning out right and you start, you know, this isn't good. This isn't good. He needs to step back, go back, be a coordinator again, kind of learn from this, and then do it again at some point.
They haven't even gotten to the regular season yet, and Fred's ready to pull the plug.
What if he starts the year 4-0?
Huh?
What?
What's that now?
Let's see. David says, do you guys like how Favre had a good preseason game, and now ESPN is on the Favre is the greatest quarterback ever kick? Pathetic.
No, I'm not on that, no.
To be fair, though, he looks good.
I didn't see it.
It looked okay.
Good enough for them to win.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like I was saying before, I think Minnesota, their offensive and defensive lines, their interior is solid.
What's the status of the suspensions for the Williamses?
Pat Williams played.
I don't know. Right. You don't get suspended in the preseason.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know. Let's see.
We're just going to sit here and stare at each other?
Is that it? Paul's looking up something in the media guide. I don't know.
Gary Kubiak?
He's going to throw Gary Kubiak's age in your face.
It doesn't matter what his age is.
It's not listed. But he was always backup
for the entire time, basically, that he was there.
Yeah, and so he probably didn't retire until he was close to 40. He was a long-time backup,
right?
Is my point. And then he was a coordinator.
For a few years.
He's been in coaching since 1992.
Has he really been that long?
He was a running backs coach at Texas A&M 92.
So let's say he was late 30s.
Say he was just 35. That's 52, right?
Yeah.
And he was probably a little older than that. He's probably 55.
So
I think he looks young, personally.
He has a kid who's...
I think he looks younger than Bill.
He has a kid who's a junior defensive back at Colorado State. Another kid who's a quarterback at Colorado State as a freshman and as young as a senior in high school.
So he was born in 1961.
He's about 50 years
61?
old.
61?
55.
Yeah. All right, so he's
48. So to me, when you're 48, 49, 50, you can noticeably age a lot in a year.
Looks ragged.
See, I think he looks that age or younger. I don't think he looks old.
I think he looks younger.
I don't think he looks any older.
I think this job...
You were wrong.
Although I haven't seen him this year.
I agree with you that this job can certainly take years off your life.
That's a guy right there who looks old.
He is.
Tom Coughlin.
And he'll die.
But he's looked old for a long time, is my point.
Plus, he's got face issues. He gets really red in the cold. Yeah. He's got those warts.
He's got a ruddy complexion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. I know what you're saying.
Checks with Eric to see if it was used properly.
Dan writes in, Marshall Faulk is one of the worst NFL broadcasters in the business who was barely qualified to analyze his own position. The best piece he ever did was on running backs when he ranked the top backs as the ones who didn't try to do too much in the backfield and just hit the hole when it comes. He also blindly chooses Manning over Brady in every category, including performance in the clutch, which anyone with half a brain would know that Manning will choke in most scenarios where Brady does not. He wishes he was still in that backfield with him because Manning's best years came after he went to St. Louis. So there.
Well, we all know Marshall Faulk has a bias.
I was with you on the idiot part.
Yeah, I was with you on the idiot part. I cut.
But
we all know
he has a bias against the Patriots. So anytime something like Brady or whatever is
exactly
come up,
Eric. Good Eric.
Rexy writes in. I just want to follow up. I don't want to make Paul hate me about Marshall Faulk. I know he's an ass, and I will never believe what he says.
Paul or Marshall?
I'm not defending Marshall Faulk. I think he's an ass,
He's
too.
A Peyton guy from the start, and I think he will blow something about Tom, and he did. I wish Sapp was there. At least he will provide more than Faulk's
You're
tirade.
He's an
I can't believe he's Kevin
guy.
Faulk's cousin.
He's anti-patriot, and I'm not so sure about the whole cousin
thing. I'm not so sure about that either.
I think they are distant cousins.
Yeah, yeah. And they think they are, too.
Right.
So whenever that happens, like that Cromartie thing.
Yeah, it was convenient. Made a nice story, so he tacked it on.
But he's anti-patriot because the Patriots beat him. You don't have to be Freud to figure this out.
Marvin.
Still getting back to who's the ass, you or Marshall Faulk?
Marshall.
I like
Marshall,
that.
Marshall.
Marvin in Kernersville, North Carolina, with the home opener just 2 weeks away. There are a number of players or starters who aren't practicing or playing in the preseason, like Welker, Spring, Seymour, so on. Which of these – Seymour's playing.
Seymour's played every game.
Yeah. Which of these guys should we be worried about not answering the bell for the home opener? Thanks for the best show on the net, says Marvin.
I'd say Welker at this point.
I'm not.
But I don't think that does. I'm not saying he's not going to play, but of the people who haven't practiced, who are starters, I think he has.
Springs worries me the most because he's new. Welker, I think they're monitoring. I think he's fine. They know what he can do. He's nicked up a little bit. Why play now? You know, kind of like.
Yeah, I think there's zero chance that he won't be on the field. I think he'll be out there in his normal role.
I agree.
Yeah, he
Springs
doesn't.
I'm not worried about Springs because, I'll be honest with you, I don't really have him penciled in my mind
as
into
a starter.
Any kind of
you
role
think a
or
lot
contributor.
More of Jonathan Wilhite than I do.
Love him.
I know.
Wow.
Well,
I wouldn't go that far either.
I like him, don't love him.
I love
I'm
him.
Intrigued. I think
I
there's some
him.
Promise there.
I think he's a playmaker.
Overachieved.
He feels like a playmaker, Paul.
He's overachieved.
And playmakers are born.
I like
they are not
I
developed.
Like Wilhite, so
Cole
I don't
Brennan could throw the ball every play.
I don't Shut want up. You turning this
How many
around.
Picks did he have last year? He had like 4 picks, didn't he? 5 picks?
No.
3.
Say what?
He had like 2 or 3. Merriweather led the team with 4.
I thought he had 4. Damn it.
I just don't see a lot of guys from, you know, Wheatley, Wilhite. They don't have that makeup speed.
Well, Wheatley, I've been thoroughly underimpressed
yeah,
this whole preseason.
Since
he
last
had
year.
One.
Four, one.
I didn't even remember the one. That's why I looked it up.
Raiders, maybe? Is it the Raiders game? I think he
know.
Might
I
have.
I thought he had 4.
The whole pass defense
Eight
for
this
is
year.
A concern for me. I don't know about
it's,
you.
It's
but
team
yeah,
defense.
We talked about the coverage.
Yeah.
Wasn't,
All right.
Wasn't quite that good.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Now, we're not in our in-season schedule yet. That starts next week, right? Oh, no.
2 weeks.
Next week, Wednesday.
Yeah, because next week is Labor Day.
We'll start going Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, they're doing Patriots Monday on Tuesday next week.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Are we here Thursday?
We're here Thursday. Okay.
So the next 2 weeks we're going to go on Wednesday then, because if Patriots Monday is Tuesday next week, it's going to also be that
yes.
on the 15th.
Right.
For the Monday night
After
game.
After the Monday night
That's right.
game.
That's right. So we'll keep you updated. All right. We'll see you Thursday.
BFW in Progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com Radio.